other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
7 years ago, today, the mighty towers had collapsed. Later in the afternoon, Building 7 would implode and fall in on itself in a perfect controlled demolition. The Pentagon would lay smoking, a large section ruined. 7 years ago, the military-industrial complex, foreign-owned, launched an attack on America, an attack on our republic, an attack on our Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, an attack on our way of life. 7 years later, the majority of the planet knows that 9/11 is an inside job. The people everywhere are accepting this fact. They are looking at the evidence. And then they are questioning so many other, quote, facts the establishment had bluffed them into, hoaxed them into in the past. And so today we're going to have Luke Radowski briefly in this hour pop in with reports from Ground Zero, where McCain and Obama are grandstanding and like vampiric creatures sucking off the dead, posing as saviors and protectors when they are vying for control as titular puppet heads, as figureheads of the system that committed the attacks. Jason Burmes is going to pop in, director of Fabled Enemies, one of the makers of Loose Change, and also one of my cameramen and main editor, Rob Jacobson, on the ground there. We'll be popping in, all three of them briefly, coming up in this hour, and they'll be calling in throughout the show if anything develops at Ground Zero. We've already had some provocateurs out there trying to stir up trouble with us. But the police removed them. In the 9/11 news today, Ralph Nader calls for a new 9/11 investigation and goes further, saying that the government wanted to stage terror attacks against Iran. Kucinich says seeks the truth, not fake political unity, in a speech yesterday, and says that there needs to be a truth and reconciliation commission to examine what really went on within the Bush White House in the aftermath of 9/11. And they are going to look at 9/11 being an inside job. I will tell you that Dennis Kucinich and or Ralph Nader may be popping in on the show. We called them. They both want to come on. They're scheduling issues today. I was going to take tomorrow off to go visit my great uncle who has pancreatic cancer in Houston, but the hurricane is set to slam into that Saturday. I may go ahead and go down there and then come back Friday night, but may be here tomorrow, may not. Regardless, we'll have quite a best of for you, selections of the best shows the last 2 weeks. But we are live on this September 11th, 2008, 7 years. Since the black op, false flag, self-inflicted wound attacks of 9/11. They counted on the public buying the hoax, buying the official story put out within minutes of the attacks, initiation. But instead, people have calmly and coldly gone back and looked at the facts of history. Before 9/11, all the government-sponsored terrorism, and they are now studying the events of 9/11 and events that have come since then, and the entire New World Order's facade is collapsing. Nader calls for new 9/11 investigation. Kucinich seek the truth, not fake political unity. The number one comedian and personal friends, he travels with President Sarkozy, says it's an inside job, sending shockwaves across Europe. Bob Woodward says Bin Laden capture could be October surprise. Stay with us. More on this and a lot more straight ahead.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
The 9/11 attacks 7 years ago today to try to bully and intimidate and terrorize the population of the planet into accepting national security states over every country. Those national security dictatorships, those shadow government systems, those imperial regional governments then plug into the larger international banking cartel and think tank brain system that politically gives them the command and control orders to carry out their operations. Their operations are to bankrupt economies, destroy the middle class, dumb the population down, and then simultaneously intensify eugenics operations. Eugenics operations are always expanding and ongoing against every single one of us. Doesn't matter if you're the Austin police chief or an FBI agent in Chicago or a school teacher in Houston, Texas. It doesn't matter if you're a nuclear physicist in New Mexico. You are under New World Order attack. This is the incredible dark majesty of the New World Order system. But it's all in the fine print. It's all admitted. The enemy operation is public. People always say, well, something like 9/11 is too big. It would come out. People would find out. There would be whistleblowers. There have been, but even within the attack itself, only a few hundred people knew the full scope of the operation maximum. It was a beautifully executed intelligence operation, but it failed. It was beautifully executed, but it still had a few defects that we have exposed. Namely, despite the fact that they ran drills to try to cover it up, in the months previous to that, they ordered the heads of two different U.S. embassies to let al-Qaeda back in the country, saying, no, their al-Qaeda designation is CIA cover. They work for us. They trained them at military bases, Pensacola. News Journal reported that. They trained at Pensacola. The Defense Language School in Monterey, California, that was reported by Associated Press. The head of the school said, what is this? These guys are showing on TV. We're in my class. And many other pieces of evidence along those lines. And then the drills that day to run a smokescreen so the rest of the government wouldn't realize what was happening, so that when different departments of the NSA and Defense Intelligence and Naval Intelligence saw the attack profile or the picked up the chatter of the attacks being launched and run and coordinated out of NORTHCOM, out of Colorado Springs, and out of Site R, it could be chalked up to stand down, Major, stand down, Colonel. You got confused by the intelligence. That's just part of the drill. Go play golf with your buddies. You ask too many questions, you're going to end up in the river, and your children are going to get killed. Shut up. You didn't see that. Move along. Collateral damage. Very sick, very dark, very twisted. But it's a pawn. They're just sacrificing a pawn. It's a military move in their mind, and we're just weak-minded because we're not cold-blooded to make the moves that secure America. But you're not securing America. It would be evil and wicked to do these horrible things in the name of the country, even if it did help the people. There have been wicked emperors and kings and elites that have done horrible things in the name of their people, who were tribal, who did actually love their race or their group. There are real historical examples of that, but they're very, very rare. But it always leads into destruction, because once the corruption is practiced, others get into the imperial power seats, into the technocracy's control system, into the military regime that dominates, and you always get a power-mad lunatic within just a few decades, and you get the very centralized system starts killing its own leaders in power struggles and then falls in on itself. So it's a bad model, even on how the former special forces operatives and Israelis and British and U.S. forces that planted the bombs in the buildings, the contractors that were involved, you know, they were sold on this is part of the greater good, our greater order, you know, to defeat the evil Muslims. But that itself was a lie and a fraud. So that is the mindset of the people that carried out the attacks. That's why they did it. It is in Army's field manuals that have been declassified to stage terror attacks. It is part of the command structure's arsenal, just as a radar relay is or a radio system, just as an M16 and 80-pound pack canteen and mess kit are for an infantry soldier. And they've taught the public to act like children and say, oh, governments don't do wicked, evil things. Elites don't do bad things. Have you read a history book lately? And the argument is the Russians are staging terror attacks in Eastern Europe and blaming it on our people. We got to fight fire with fire. And America's got to do it bigger than better than they ever did. We have the stay-behind networks as Eastern Europe fell after World War II. Activate them. Operation Gladio. And other operations. The NATO option. And so they staged hundreds and hundreds of attacks. And if you're going to stage an attack, if it's for the children of Italy that they not live under communism, we'll sacrifice a few of the children of Italy and blow up school buses. Little arms and legs blown everywhere. And the local police arrive, and they find out that the leftists did it. But the leftists didn't do it. Then the argument is, but the leftists above them stage attacks and blame it on the right wing. See, and then once you decide it's okay to do this, well, cook the bomb, train the driver, give them detonators, order FBI agents below you to stand down, order your informants who are throwing fits to stand down, let the bombing go forward in 93, World Trade Center. Let the bombing go forward with Oklahoma City. Plant the bombs inside. Oh, but 168, that didn't upset people enough. We weren't able to set up our national security dictatorship and bring it from out of the shadows into the public and absorb what's left of the republic for everyone's security, so there will be peace. So now you stage a 9/11, and that gets you two wars and trillions of dollars into your bank accounts, because that's really what it's all about. The very people, you know, even if we had gung-ho pro-America individuals, and that's how it all started, staging terror attacks, it would be wrong because it leads to expansion of that tool. It leads to more corruption. It leads to legitimizing those forms of warfare. And then your elite totally sells out to the foreign corporations and the money men, and they're handing over whole city governments to private corporations to loot the public, to tax the public. Forget fascism. This is corporations becoming the government. And they hand over the roads and the water and the schools and everything. And then they own the private defense training compounds and the private prisons and the red light camera companies and the face scanning companies. And the defense structure just takes over the whole economy and makes the people the enemy. You are not American patriots. You out there listening that were involved in the attacks. I know a lot of you are shocked, like no one out here doesn't understand history or your mindset or your plan or what you were told or how you were led into this darkness. You think we can't handle the truth? You don't think we don't understand how you were corrupted, how you were twisted? You think you're strong because you could kill those 3,000 people for our betterment? Look at you living in a $5 million house. Look at you with all your Swiss bank account funding. And all you are is some retired special forces colonel. You did it for wealth and power. You like killing people. But because you have a little bit of a soul left, And because you're not a true psychopath, but you were someone who was twisted, you have rationalized what you did because you've seen so much death in your life. Look at how you were trained. Look at how you were led into darkness. Look at how at each point you were tested. And each time you were twisted just a little bit more. Look at how you were turned into evil until you're blowing up daycare centers in Oklahoma City and in the World Trade Centers, until you're killing children. And you say, well, what did we do when we bombed Dresden? We killed 500,000 people, most of them children, in one night. What did we do in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? It's just war, Jones. Yeah, it's just war on your own people. So you could loot the pension funds, so nobody would look at how you stole trillions out of the Pentagon, so you could turn our whole country upside down and take our Bill of Rights and Constitution. Get it out of your head that you're patriots. Because I know a lot of you, even though you're evil, still have this idea. It was the doorway you entered into that you did this for patriotism. That you did all this horrible wickedness on your path of destruction, on your path of to the dark side. You did it all for the overall good. No, you didn't. Look at your fruits. Look at what you bring. You see, after you blow up buildings, after you stage terror attacks, after you ship heroin and cocaine in for decade after decade, why not let your pals over at Dyncorp and Halliburton kidnap children and make snuff films with them? Why not just go all the way? You know, after all, why not just do anything? That's what you've done. And it's not too late for you to turn back. If you have any soul left right now, you're upset by what you've done. You don't like what you've done. And I know you think no one will believe you, but people will. You need to go public now. You need to go public. You need to go public.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine. I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom prison. And time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the San Antone. When I was just a baby,
you see,
my mama told me, son,
it's a class thing to kill your fellow countrymen. They have the greater understanding in the elite that some of us have to be killed for our own good, to train us to go out and attack their enemies.
When I hear that,
but it's not for our own good.
I hang my
Remember, they'll bomb Dresden and kill 500,000 in one night. You say, yeah, they're not human, kill them, but they'll also radiate 4,000 plus U.S. foster children in radiation chambers to death. And then, well, we're the good guys, we're fighting evil, so we'll just control the white slavery trade too. You know, because somebody else will control that trade if we don't, so we'll make it big and industrialized. Now, that's the mid-level minions. A lot of them just like raping and killing people, so they're just pure evil. But there's also a lot of them who are doing all this for Jesus. So Israel's got to be safe, because if we don't save Israel, we'll go to hell. It says that. You've got to do whatever Israel says, or you go to hell. I guess all the prophets were bad then for rebuking Israel when it was being bad. You see, it's totally twisted. And so we've got to protect the good by staging terror. It's of the Lord. Of course, the controllers laugh at those guys who go out and do all their dirty work for them. We got Rob Jacobson, my video editor and camera guy. He's on the ground down at Ground Zero right now with Jason Burmis, who's nearby as well. And I want to go ahead and go to both of them. Let's introduce Rob Jacobson. Rob, give me a quick report on what's happening there at Ground Zero, site of the Black Op government attack 7 years ago. Rob, you there? Okay, he's doing something else. Let's bring Burmis up. Let's go ahead and bring Jason Burmis up. Jason, you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. They dropped Rob as soon as they picked me up, just to let you know.
I don't know what that means, but...
he just got disconnected from the phone line. Yeah, I'm sitting right next to him.
We'll call him back. Okay, give me a report, Jason, on what's going on.
Sure. There's about 200 to 300 of us out by Broadway, right on the side. Obviously, the front is very restricted this time. Much more restricted than even last time. They've actually started building on the construction site, so you can really see what they're trying to build for 2012 as their goal. And there isn't a lot going on outside of the pit for the family members. I mean, you're not seeing the masses. You're not seeing people ring the bells. You're only seeing people on those side streets over by the PATH train station. And that's where we are. And, you know, while I was up there very early this morning, I got there around 8:30. It literally took me around 10 minutes while a camera was on me to hand out 100 copies of Loose Change Final Cut. And, yeah, as you know, Alex, I just didn't have any DVDs of Fabled Enemies, but luckily one of your listeners 100 copies of that as well, and I handed them out. So, you know, I'm just trying to bring more people into the fold, and, you know, we're doing the right thing out here. There's a lot of great InfoWars signs, 9/11 truth signs, and, you know, it's starting to pick up.
Well, they're doing everything they can to keep the 9/11 truthers away from it so that McCain can sup on the blood of the dead working for the system that committed the murders, and so Barack Obama can have his first blood meal as a full-fledged New World Order wraith, and so they can, because they love feeding on those they've murdered. They love this, you know, being part of the system, and going up there and grandstanding and having the firemen stand around them and get the reflected glory. They love having war heroes around them to get that reflected glory, so that they can train the suckers to go along with further abuse and ritualized murder. Speaking of ritualized murder, they kicked off the big heavy reactor over in Switzerland yesterday, and notice that they want to have the new tower that has this occultic height being completed in 2012. All of these different esoteric and numerological signs.
Absolutely, and it's very frightening to me. And, you know, on the note of McCain and Obama grandstanding, you know, I was reporting that when I was subbing in for you, and just to see it happening is just nauseating to me. I mean, these guys are not good from either side. I had one gentleman who was listening to me speak on the corner as a crowd gathered. One of the debunkers had their camera in my face, and I was setting them straight. And this guy was digging what I was saying, but then I noticed he was wearing a Barack Obama shirt. And I just turned to him and I said, look, man, that guy ain't going to save you. You know, I'm not trying to make this about race. I'm actually voting for a black woman. I'm voting Cynthia McKinney. He's a much better candidate than Barack Obama. And he's like, all right, man, I'll definitely check it out. You definitely just spoke some wisdom right there. So, you know, we have so much work to do, Alex. We've got to wake people up to 9/11 truth. We have to wake people up to the false left-right paradigm.
Stay there. You and Rob. I want to get you both on air. I want to get Rob's take as well when we get back. Stay with us. Attack against the people.
Used to be such a sweet, sweet thing till they got a hold of me.
Yeah, now we don't have a government that's a nice guy.
Open doors for little old lady.
They are absolutely bankrupt spiritually.
I got no friends because they read the papers. They can't be seen.
They are completely delusional.
With me, and I'm getting real shot down, and I'm feeling me.
So it's time for us to not be nice anymore. But we're not going to blow up men, women, and children and blame it on our enemies. We're not going to put sodium fluoride in the water to dumb the public down. We're going to aggressively go out and wake the people up. Just a quick program note. For a full hour, I was on international Iranian TV, their equivalent of Al Jazeera. I mean, it's on satellites all over the world, cable systems everywhere. And I hadn't ever watched a lot of press TV, so I went on there to talk about Russia and other issues, global economic issues, Iran. And on Iranian TV, they were basically bashing Russia and Iran. See, everyone's buffaloed by this. The West, the corrupt people that run our government and the British government, have got everybody buffaloed. They go around intimidating, lying, invading countries they want, Afghanistan, Iraq, and then saying Russia can't defend itself on its own border. And then they're even cowed on Iranian TV trying to act objective. Objective isn't, if you see a red flag, say it's green because everybody else says it's green. Look, I'm just going to tell it like I see it. I'm going to tell it like the facts show. And that's it. That's where my allegiance lies, is with the truth. And I'm sick of the people running our government wrapping themselves in the American flag while they dismantle our republic, dismantle our liberties, destroy our currency, destroy our name. I've had enough. I've had enough of it. I'm sick of it. And I certainly don't think the Iranian government's wonderful. I know the mullahs run that place with an iron fist, and 70-some percent of the people there are pro-America, and they're very worldly people. And they're not stupid. Iranians are really smart. As smart as Westerners, and more intelligent now because they're not slurping fluoride for 50 years. And they want freedom over there, but our government wouldn't give them that. They had to go over there and blow stuff up to kick out secular governments to put the mullahs in, and they flew in and put the mullahs in. We posted mainline government documents yesterday proving that. I don't want to hear anymore that I'm for the Muslim extremist. The radical Shiites were installed by the CIA in 1979. That was all staged, and that's been declassified. You didn't know it. And the radical Wahhabists were put into Afghanistan and Serbia and Chechnya. And I have had enough of it. And they do that so they can bring down secular governments, mainline governments that want to be tourist meccas, that want to be popular, that want to sell oil, that want to have free societies. And the globalists don't want that because that's an engine of freedom and economic success that will threaten their IMF World Bank takeover. And so they put in Muslim wind-up toys, radical Muslims to take over, and then they spook the West and say, oh, look, the guy in the turban's going to get you. That guy in the turban is a finger puppet of the New World Order. All right, finish up what you were saying, Jason Burmis, there on the ground at Ground Zero, and then I want to get Rob's take on what's happening.
Yeah, I was just discussing how, you know, McCain and Obama are down here to grandstand on both sides of the spectrum, and it's time not only to wake people up to 9/11 truth, but this false left-right paradigm. It's time for us to become the government again, Alex, to the people, to get involved in our constitutional process before the rest of our Constitution and Bill of Rights is completely eviscerated.
Absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. Jason Burmis, any other points you want to add?
You know, I just want to, you know, give a big shout out to everybody out there that's doing things outside of New York, everybody who showed up to New York. I mean, I met a couple family members last night that I didn't know. Ellen Mariani showed up. Manny Badillo showed up. The wife of Deborah Wilson, who was lost on Flight 93, or I'm sorry, the husband of Deborah Wilson, who was lost on Flight 93, showed up last night, and he's only been awake for about a year. And, you know, when family members come up to me and they pat me on the back and they give me a hug and they tell me, you know, I was asleep for so long and, you know, you helped wake me up, and now I just want to know what I can do to help you get this word out. Nothing means more to me, Alex. You know, I know we can reach more and more people, and I just need more people out there positive to have the will to do something, to tap into their special talent. They don't necessarily have to host a radio show or make documentaries. There are other ways. For instance, you know, my friend all the way out in Portland, Oregon, gave me a great deal on a bunch of 9/11 truth signs. You know, he helped out today. Somebody, you know, I think in North Carolina has helped us out with T-shirts before. So everybody in every career field can find a way to help this cause, to help this movement, to bring true patriotism back to this country, Alex.
Absolutely, Jason. You know, I watch clips of Truth Rising. I see clips of Fabled Enemies, and I'm just so honored to be involved in projects like this. Or I watch Endgame and say, my God, I made this film. Or I see Loose Change Final Cut and I say, wow, I produced this film. You know, you directed Fabled Enemies, did a great job. These are films that need to be seen. And I get so busy covering news and having guests on, I don't even really plug that these DVDs are available right now at Infowars.com. And these films won't be seen and won't have the effect they need to have. If people don't get the DVDs at Infowars.com, or if they don't download the high-quality versions and share those, burn them to disk or pass them around on file-sharing systems, I mean, that's how we do everything, is you, the listeners, taking action. That's why we've been able to do so much. So please get Fabled Enemies at Infowars.com. Jason, anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to point out that what you just said is how I got my start. Literally getting the information, burning the info bombs to disk, and handing them out to all my friends, families, strangers, acquaintances, other human beings, Alex. I decided to reach out with information that might be troubling, that might not make me the most popular, because it's the right thing to do. And you're right. People do need to get these videos. They need to make copies. They need to sit their friends and families down and make them watch this stuff, because we need to change this country in a hurry.
Absolutely. Jason, I know there are provocateurs out there, don't mention them by name, really stirring stuff up. Just if anything develops today, Ralph Nader's scheduled to be popping in. We got some other big guests scheduled to pop in. Call in if anything happens. You've got the hotline, okay?
One thing for you, Alex. Michael Hess, who was in the building with Barry Jennings, just recently got interviewed by that BBC hitmeister, Michael Rudin. He's down here. We're kind of in contact with him about another matter, and he mentioned to us that he got an interview with Hess. So don't be surprised when Hess recants everything he said on Fox News that we present in both Loose Change, Final Cut, and Fabled Enemies.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason Bernus.
You got it. Bye.
Before we go to Rob for a quick report from his perspective at Ground Zero, my main editor, he edited Martial Law, 911 Rise of the Police State, Order of Death, and re-edited for the double combo disc, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. He also did, expanding from there, he did Terror Storm 1 and 2, and Endgame, and now Truth Rising, and he worked as first editor. I don't know who first editor is. They really did about equal with Aaron on Fabled Enemies. So what a workhorse out there with camera. But yes, imagine to have Hess, imagine to have Barry Jennings, both on two different national TV networks that day, saying they were, it was blowing up, dead bodies, all this stuff in the building, you know, deputy head of emergency management. And then we interview him, but then he gets scared and is getting threats, so we don't release the interview we should have. And then they go on TV and don't say it, but then the voiceovers on the BBC say, we lied and made it up, he never said it, and then we produce the video where he did say it. I mean, you know, that's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. The debunkers are so dishonest. They run around on the web on their website saying that no one reported bombs in the buildings. No one said get back from the buildings. When there's video, a cop saying get back. Or then they say, oh, you're saying cops blew it up. No, the cops are going, I don't know what's going on, but they say they're bringing it down. They're going to blow it up. Get back. Get back. Get back. But I don't just have the videos of the cops on CNN and Fox. I've interviewed the police. I've interviewed the emergency workers. The guys on the videos, we went and tracked them down. They weren't lying that day. They're not lying now. And, you know, we'd say, well, we've interviewed police. People say, you're lying. That's a, you got to give the source. You got to list their name. And then they get courage and go public and then get fired or get in trouble. And then it's, oh, that cop just a liar. That cop's evil. Get that cop. They blew it up, okay? You got that through your head? Terrorists are in control. They didn't fun fighting them, folks. It's life and death. You know why I go take over MSNBC and let people punch me and hit me and come at me with knives all on video? Because I passed the point of return a long time ago. You understand that? There's no turning back. There's no turning back on this road. You got that? This is life and death. Rob Jacobson, what are you seeing down there?
I got here about a couple of hours ago, and there were a few hundred 9/11 truthers standing on the side street because, like Jason reported, the main street that crosses in front of the PATH station where we usually do demonstrations has been totally shut down. There's no walkway. You have to walk around it. So a few hundred demonstrators are on that side street where the federal building is, near the church where they're having a memorial inside. And one of the things I've noticed is it's not really, you know, most of the demonstrators out there are from different cities. A lot of people have traveled in. I met people from Northern Virginia. I've met people here from Colorado. I've met people here from, I think, Florida, as well as other places, other cities. Last night at the Burmese event, more than three quarters of the room when he said he asked the crowd how many people are from out of town. It was more than three quarters of the room were from out of town. So people are definitely traveling in. They're going out of their way. And I'll tell you, one of the interesting things that one of the demonstrators said was, and they're talking about other members of their groups that couldn't make it in. Each person there represents, you know, as many as 5, 10, or 100 other people that just could not travel in. You know, they're talking about the Northern Virginia We Are Change. You're talking about the Southern Virginia We Are Change and how many people are in that group and what kind of activities they're doing around their local community today. And I happen
to
know
there's there are people in New Jersey. There are people in California, in Texas, in Dallas. There are folks everywhere in the Netherlands, in England, in Japan, in Ireland, in Dublin. All over the world, people are out exposing false flag terror. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I also noticed that usually at these 9/11 events, you get a little bit of resistance when handing out the DVDs and the pamphlets, but really not anymore. People are actually walking up and just asking for them, requesting. It doesn't seem like the general public, everybody knows that the 9/11 truth movement is alive and well, and they're very curious. I believe that they're more curious because of the media blackout that's occurring. People are craving to hear our side of the story already. Like, what are these people talking about? People are walking up. They're getting the DVDs. People are almost in crowds. I've seen people in fatigues talking with some of the 9/11 activists on the street. A lot of guys in Marine full uniforms are standing there with 9/11 truth signs out there. So the crowd is definitely way more diverse, and a lot more of the general public is a lot more receptive. They're very curious people out there, want to know the facts, you know. They want to hear the truth already. Everybody knows that the media is a fraud, and, you know, they sound like a fraud. Especially Chris Matthews misreporting us. Don't even, you know, he's putting words in our mouth saying that our theory is that there's a plunger. You know, we say that George Bush is in the basement somewhere pushing a plunger. That's very transparent.
Hey, scores of newspapers said that I believe that I'm a Jedi wizard and that I was going to levitate the mint, and I failed. And the Denver Post was there. They said, are you part of this protest to levitate the men? And I said, no. But they didn't care. All over the news, everywhere, it's now believed that I believe that I can lift buildings off the ground. You see, it's deception. But every time they lie, they lose more credibility. And it's the exact same thing. Chris Matthews said, we believe, he told Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senator, we believe Bush was in the basement of the White House with a plunger like Wile E. Coyote blowing it up. You see, that ain't going to work anymore, you pack of liars.
Exactly. I mean, these stories are becoming more and more ridiculous. And the public just isn't buying it. It's no question anymore, because you can see it right here on the street. Everybody wants to know. They're not buying the plunger story. You know, Chris Matthews is only discrediting himself by making up such a ridiculous, far-fetched story. I mean, the man's supposed to be an investigative journalist. At least report on what we're saying.
But then Limbaugh's fill-in host lies and says that MSNBC agreed and said it was an inside job. So you have another false paradigm in the controlled media where they try to act like, you know, the, quote, liberal mainline media is with us and controlled. I mean, just absolutely deceptive. Or maybe that host reported a little secret that Oberman is a 9/11 truther, and that's why he's been fired. So they are getting, and here's the other deal. People in the CIA, in Naval Intelligence, in the FBI, they know it's an inside job. They're not evil. And they're supporting us. They're giving us information. Folks, it's happening. We are winning. And people say alive and well. This hoax keeps getting put out that 9/11 truth's dead. 9/11 truth's dead. 9/11 truth. Ralph Nader coming out, Dennis Kucinich coming out, the biggest personal friends. He travels with Sarkozy, the number one comedian in France, one of the biggest in Europe, comes out and says it's a total inside job, and then he would not recant it. He said, you know, I'm sorry that the facts hurt you, but that's what I believe. I mean, it's every day defense ministers going public. I mean, it's over. It's over. People are looking into false flag terror. They're finding out there's all these declassified examples where it's not debated, and it's over for you terrorists. Go ahead.
Exactly. I mean, the proof is right out there. if you want to see, it's not like 3 years ago or 2 years ago where we'd go out there and everybody would give us crazy looks and who are these guys? Oh, no way. Nah, everybody's coming up. Everybody's aware that they're, and I mean everybody, every single person on the street knows who we are. They're aware of our message and they want to know more. You know, there's no secret anymore. 9/11 truth is out there. And I, you know, just based on what I witnessed this morning, everybody, it's mainstream. Everybody knows, every single person. I mean, everybody's curious. Everybody's, there's no, these people are fringe lunatics. No, we are the movement right now. We are the truth movement. You know, everybody's aware that we're taking place. And I believe that even though a lot of people are not wearing the 9/11 truth shirts, they themselves are truthers themselves because they want to know the truth. They're curious. They're picking up the DVDs. They're grabbing those flyers by a lot. Burmese reported he gave away 100 DVDs in 10 minutes.
Stay there. Stay there. Ernest Jones. Oh, here's another truther.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913.
And every week,
made his great grandchildren believe you.
I get called by different rock stars and movie stars who were too afraid.
103 is forever when you're just a
to go public.
So, Cyrus Jones,
like Governor Ventura,
forever.
Willie Nelson,
grave.
German Defense Minister Andres von Bülow.
Dig my grave.
Italian president.
Would you make it shallow?
CIA section chief Bill Christensen. Inside job, inside job, inside job.
Mural Stonewall, 1903 to 1903.
I'm not going to live forever, folks. I'm not afraid of them killing me. I'm not afraid of them even going after my family.
Now you should never,
because I know truth comes first.
Children lowered in the ground.
You got to commit to it.
And you should never have to bury.
I already jumped out of the helicopter.
Grave.
I already jumped out of the back of that C-130.
You did my grave.
I don't know if my parachute's opening.
Make it shallow. So,
and I'm not even worried about it. Played that for you, Rob. I know you like that Willie song.
Ring around the roses.
Rob, closing comments.
Just to close out, about what people are talking about all the events that people are doing outside of New York. You know, I was just thinking about it. I can't wait to see videos posted about what's going on in other cities around the country today, what people are doing, you know, putting up flyers, doing demonstrations, making people aware. And another thing, you know, on top of that, I hope people remember that it's the persistence. Today, tomorrow, every day, if they could just do something to keep the word alive, to keep it getting stronger, because we're definitely at that critical mass right now. There's no doubt about it. Everybody knows. And all we got to do is just keep persisting, keep persisting, keep getting the message out there, and it's too late.
Yeah, we've got the enemy on the ropes in the info war, and so that's why the enemy's saying, your movement's dead, your movement's dead. No one's listening. No one's waking up. I mean, we've got Keith Oberman talking about Cheney staging terror attacks against our own ships. We've got New Yorker magazine. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. I go on shows all the time that would disagree with me a year ago on other radio shows. Now they agree. They say, what do? We continue to expose that the attack on Russia was a false flag, so they would over-respond so we could start a new Cold War with them. And by we, I mean the elite that controls our nation. Everything is false flags. That's what they do.
Exactly. And if we just keep the information out there and we persistently keep it coming for people who are curious, people who do want to read this stuff, because trust me, everybody is sick of hearing the same old stuff on the mainstream media. People want to hear real information. They crave the truth.
And here's another thing. Here's another thing, and I'm going to hold you over one more segment, Rob, to talk about that. But I want to bring this up now before the hour ends. The police would normally let the provocateurs beat us up, attack us. Now they are removing the provocateurs.
Exactly. The provocateurs came by. They started a little bit of trouble, and police, you know, they came up to them. They asked them.
Hold on. I want to hear this after. You know why the police did that? Because everybody knows. We'll be right back.
with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling like their father or their dog.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Nader is confirmed to be on later in this hour. He's gone public for 9/11 Truth, saying he supports 9/11 Truth and wants a new investigation. So is Dennis Kucinich. He's saying the same thing. They both have giant mainline followings. And the fact that, Nader's gotten 4 million votes before. And the fact that, see, that breaks with Noam Chomsky and all of those people who's saying, the MIT guy, no, don't look at that. No, the UN will save us. No, there's no false flag terror. Don't, no, 9/11 doesn't matter. So what if it's an inside job? That's a quote. So what if the government did it? So what? What does that mean? Oh, it just means they're totally criminal, totally ruthless, totally out of their minds with megalomania, totally bankrupt psychologically. Sky's the limit, folks, if they'll pull off crazy stunts like that. That is out of control. Come on, government, FBI, CIA, the rest of you. You're not all evil. Most of you are compartmentalized. Stop playing games. We can't let these people continue to operate. The COG is going to take over completely if you don't get your butt in gear now. Rob Jacobson, finish up the point you were making.
The point I was making was about these provocateurs that came down. Obviously, they came down there just to cause trouble. That was their mission, and they were basically getting people on edge there at the scene. And the cops just came by, and they asked them, said, hey, these people don't want you around by the noise that's being created, this and that. Just move across the street. The cops, ushered them across the street, defused the situation. And that was the end of that. It's easy to spot these guys. They come down. They're not angry people. They're not confused or ignorant, whatever. These are people who come down just to cause trouble. It was refreshing to see the cops not detain them or beat them up or anything, just defuse the situation, say, hey, why don't you move across the street, stay away from here. And it is because the cops in this town know, everybody knows, the firefighters know, you can just see by the looks in people's eyes that there's no mystery anymore about 9/11.
Are you kidding? I mean, last year, and we've got video of this, we need to dig that out and put it on the web. We had like cops giving us thumbs up 5 feet away, captains going, hey, Alex, keep up the good work, black ones, white ones. And then, of course, you'd still have, I'd say 30% of the cops didn't like us. They'd stick their feet out to trip us, and another cop would go, what are you doing? But the firemen wouldn't leave us alone. We couldn't get our job done. They were saying, thank you. But then you'd have people from outside town or some old Marine with a horse, out there showing off and flip us off. But, they're not even bad people. They're weak-minded. They fall into enemy propaganda.
Exactly. They're just ignorant, and, people are people. These guys come, they experienced 9/11 tragedy, and they're going to be into the truth, too. The truth is the truth. It is what it is. And as long as people open their eyes and discover it, there's no turning back. There's no turning back to black. What's been going on, and you can see it on the street. It's just very apparent. I can't wait to get these videos up so you can see, you know, for yourself exactly what's going on, how people are reacting to us this year as contrast to the last previous years that we were there. It's very encouraging, and I would just like to say one last thing that, you know, through the couple of years I've been working with Alex, it's been a total honor to help him make these videos that get out to people and really affect change. And I can see the change that's being affected right now, right before my very eyes. It's a total rush. And if you could produce your own video as well at home, you'll experience the same rush.
We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ralph Nader and Dennis Kucinich may be popping in. Nader is confirmed for 45 after. In this hour, we are waging war on corruption. Few are standing against many, and the few are converting the many to the truth, converting them to look at the reality around them. And as that happens, as more people investigate, our awareness, our organic and private, individualistic, decentralized intelligence network is laying waste to the New World Order. We are absolutely decimating them. We are crushing their info war because their info war is made of weak metal. A million of their swords, to our, say, 500. Our 500 swords is greater than their million swords because theirs is like rotten chalk. And ours are the strongest steel. The truth. The truth. The truth. Can you handle the truth? I think you can. Does that mean I have a monopoly on it or you do? No. But history, those that know history know governments are wicked, vicious, stinking, power-tripping criminals, murdering and enslaving and poisoning and every form of debauchery and degeneracy. Our society is becoming evil. We're all becoming evil. Evil is running rampant. Deception is running rampant. But that only makes the truth that much stronger. Folks, you'll be so alive when you actually fight evil, so alive when you stop being worldly. Does it mean you'll be perfect? No, but that journey towards liberty and freedom is so purifying. I can't believe the person I was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I was more moral than most then. I didn't know it, though. I thought everybody wanted the good guys to win and wanted decency and honor and wanted to be informed and wanted to stand up against corruption. I didn't know most people were cowardly and scared and evil themselves. But a lot of that is a mindset, a idea. You know, you'll be in a crowd or at work and say, that place had a bad vibe. Or that place had a great vibe. It's like a bad vibe. It's a spell people are under. With God's help, we're breaking that evil spell, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is cutting right through it like a hot knife through butter. We can do it together. They can kill us individually, and no doubt they have, and they will. But know in your heart that we can win, that good can succeed. There can be a dawn after the darkness. It's always coldest at about 5 a.m., you march to your deer stand, climb up in a tree, it's freezing cold, the wind picks up. But then the dawn comes and it heats up. Even if it's still cold right when the dawn comes, there's something about the light that warms your soul. Watch little birds hopping around happily in the trees. All right, let's go back to Rob. Rob, I will let you go. I know you're in the middle of bedlam there, finishing up what you were saying about being energized, being involved in something real.
Exactly. Being involved in this, it's been such an honor to make these films in the first place. But coming out here and witnessing the actual change and effect that is caused on the street is extremely empowering. You know, being on the side of the truth and putting out real material that actually changes the climate that we live in is extremely empowering. It's a rush. Every time I come out, every time I see people and they recognize the film or they don't, you know, they're passing it out. And I would just, you know, share that feeling with others by saying, if you produce, get your videos out there, pass out the palm cards, do something. Being on the side of the truth, you'll feel a whole new energy, a whole new sort of enlightenment come to you. And if you're the guy in the office who secretly listens to Alex, or you hear somebody else who is into 9/11 truth and you agree with him yourself and you're not brave enough yet to speak out and you just keep quiet in the room, I encourage you to speak out. Speak out in that room, because you'll find, you'll be surprised that everybody else in that room is probably on your side too. And you're going to be empowered, and those who are in denial are going to fall short, and they're going to actually listen to the truth. And it is the critical mass point that we're at right now. And I encourage everybody that's participating in this critical mass by listening to this and knowing the truth, but not yet speaking out. I encourage you at this point to take that first step forward so you can share in the truth and experience what it really feels like to be alive. And
you can share in the history.
Exactly.
And by that, we don't care about being part of history, quote, later people caring what we did, except that it's an example to others. But it's literally making history. It's changing destinies. It is living our destiny to fight evil. We're here to be tested. And some of you in the FBI, CIA, Defense Intelligence, one of the other, you know, 14 intelligence agencies, I didn't mention some of the private agencies, you can covertly wake people up. You can do little things in your communities. You can help get information out. So some of you don't need to go public. But the point is, you've seen enough to know that this is true. A lot of you that have been compartmentalized in government who are intelligent but never saw it from the right angle. And I've had so many people, special forces, generals, colonels, you know, the head of the army. So many have come on this show, former head of the army, and said, yeah, they never saw it till they pulled back and saw the big picture. And then everything made sense. Before, it didn't make sense. There is a mass directive running this. And it isn't just our opinion. We have those white papers. We have those master blueprints. And it is absolute evil. And so just join this brotherhood, this sisterhood of liberty and freedom. Come in for the big win. Be part of history. Once you're dead, you're past the reach of history. You're past the reach of destiny. You've squandered your destiny. You've squandered what you could and should and would have been. Don't live this life blinded. Don't live this life living a lie. When you believe lies, it blinds you. When you believe lies and commit, because your mind, your soul knows the truth. And every time you buy into a lie, every time you rationalize, every time you make excuses, then the eye of your soul never is able to basically see again. And so you blacken your heart, you blacken your soul, you blacken that third eye. It's the only way to describe it. And you wall yourself off, you close that window to the soul, just like gouging your own eyeballs out. So many of you have covered your eyes. And the Bible says there's a point when you will lose your eyes, your spiritual eyes. You will lose them if you don't take the blinders off. Okay? And when you first take the blinders off, you're not going to really see clearly. It's going to be blurred. It's going to be scary. But more and more sight will come. You will be able to research more, to know more. And you will become edified. And you will grow. And you will grow into something that you were meant to be by your Creator. All right, close it out, Jacobson. Then I want to get the Watsons on later is what I meant to say. Go ahead.
There it is. I mean, that's it. The truth will set you free, and that means living the truth. I mean, here's to the FBI guys who follow orders, but they know they're doing something wrong. They're not really comfortable. Imagine what it would feel like if instead of just blindly following orders to maintain your job, you actually took action and changed the whole world that you live in. You suddenly feel like you count. You're somebody. You're a part of this world. Your life has meaning instead of just some guy that follows orders to make the paycheck. correct. And, you know, that is the difference between living the lie and living in the truth. And it will set you free. And you do feel for the first time, if you've never experienced it before, you feel for the first time like you're living life and you're in control of your destiny and you are a member of this planet. And that's just, you know, that's basically
absolutely
how I'd like to leave it.
All right,
and,
thanks,
thanks
Rob.
For having me on, Alex. I'll see you when I get back.
You bet. Well, if anything develops, give us a report. And I want to get a report from you Sunday because you're also going to be going to D.C. to do some work there. There goes Rob Jacobson, great video editor and camera guy. Again, Ralph Nader is scheduled to be popping in later in this hour. William Ingdahl, the incredible economist, researcher, journalist, academic, to get into full spectrum dominance and GMO foods. We're doing a multi-part series with him. And then Bob Chapman popping in with the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac situation. So that is coming up. And I do want to open the phones up about 9/11, about this movement, false flag terror being exposed, other things that are happening. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. I'd like to hear briefly from all of you about what you're doing, but I will be brief with each caller so we can get everybody on. At least I'll try. Nader calls for new 9/11 investigation. Independent presidential candidate says he supports 9/11 truth movement. Kucinich, seek the truth, not fake political unity, calls for a national independent investigation of 9/11. Sarkozy's top comic, France's top comic, headline, Sarkozy's comic friend, says sorry for 9/11 comments. They always want to deceive. Every time you read those headlines, they put out false headlines saying Charlie Sheen recants on Inside Job. Charlie had to put an email out on my website saying it's not true, it's made up. He didn't say that. And then you read down here, it says he will not, Mr. Bigrad said he would not, Jean-Marie Bigrad said he will not recant. He thinks it's an inside job, but he won't say it in public anymore because it upsets Sarkozy. France's favorite stand-up comedian has been forced to apologize for claiming the 9/11 was a terrorist attack on the U.S. 7 years ago, tomorrow, were an enormous lie orchestrated by the American government. Said it caused consternation in France because the comedian who specializes in humor is a close friend of President Nicolas Sarkozy and travels with him. Yeah. So there you go. Continuing, Woodward, Bin Laden capture could be October surprise. Remember I had that big former CIA, CFR co-chairman on? If he thought I was Alex Jones, the NPR reporter. A lot of them, we don't even lie and tell them we're that person. They just think we are and come on. And he came on right after 9/11 and was saying, yeah, the government's got Bin Laden frozen. He died of kidney failure. We got that from other sources, too. And remember, Walter Cronkite said that, too. Well, we'll tell you about that when we get back and take your phone calls. A lot of other big news on 9/11, 7 years after the staged event.
We will not be forgotten. My crops will die.
I can feel my ancestors.
The bankman says he likes me, but there's nothing he can do.
I can feel their strength.
Tells me that he's coming, but the clouds are coming.
In my bones.
He ain't my friend.
In my gut.
And I'll rise again.
Deep in my soul. And I know that we are going to defeat this tyranny. It's a long road filled with hardship and pain. But I know in my gut that good will overtake and defeat the evil. We will defeat the New World Order.
He who tries to beat her down
was destined to fall from the foundations of the earth.
They'll never win.
I ride again.
For all their raw power, for all their war machines, their juggernauts, their warmongers, their blasphemous tools of terror, they are destined to fail and fall, and they are blind to what it is to be truly alive. They will fall. Motto in Michigan, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking my call on this tragic anniversary. I want to tell you briefly what I'm doing, trying to get the word out, supporting your films and Jason's films. They're on the Ann Arbor News online. They have a Town Talk forum. It's mlive, all one word, .com/Ann Arbor. And I'd like all the truthers that have some time to go there, get a username, because as usual, when I post something on there, you get the usual trolls or the paid people that come in there with insults and try to derail the talk. I need people to go in there and put in threads that say either they agree or other information, and don't let it just be me, mlive.com/Ann Arbor. And one other thing that I thought was a contradiction, and obviously I support you, but I want to point out, you have the thing on your website about Shiva, the goddess or whatever, destroyer, and you were just talking about spiritual eye being a third eye. I think that's a bit of a contradiction for my Christian brother, Alex, so maybe you want to sort of clarify that.
All right, I appreciate your call. No. I mean, people in the Hindu or the Buddhist thing can talk specifically about that, okay? If you don't know that you have spiritual sight, see, this is how all this works. Symbols are expropriated by the New World Order. Ideas are expropriated by that, okay? And so what I'm saying is, as you, your spiritual sight or your sixth sense, your instincts, your whatever you want to call it, are blinded when they are dulled when you lie to yourself, when you lie to the facts, when you disregard them. You become spiritually blind, is what I'm saying. Okay? And, you know, they got Shiva, the god of death. You could say it was Kali, but Shiva's also death, sitting over the Hadron Heavy Collider, which none of us said it was going to blow the earth up when they turned it on. We said as they speed it up over the next 5 years, and as they cross those streams at thousands of times, whatever's been done, they admit, the builders of it, have done interviews saying it could create a particle that sinks to the center of the earth and then causes the earth to implode or creates a strangelet or a black hole. They admit it's going to make little black holes. They've already made artificial suns and black holes in laboratories for at least a decade. Every time I say that, I get emails going, you're crazy. Google University constructs black hole in Tokyo, in MIT, in Massachusetts, in Los Alamos. I mean, they were making artificial suns 25 years ago. They were making new artificial elements 40 years ago. They had cyclotrons, and they had other names for them before that. Last night, you know, again, I told you my wife bought these Pitcher color encyclopedias off eBay, because we were at some family member's house and they had some old ones and my kids were loving them. So we read those to them. We just got them like a week ago. I just opened one up last night. It's laying by the bed and it's got the old name from the 50s for a cyclotron. I forget what they called it, but they were colliding uranium in it. I mean, just firing a uranium bullet into plutonium causes an A-bomb. I mean, they're dealing with that type of stuff. So, see, we say there's a danger. Physicists say there's a danger. And we're like, oh, shut up. There's no danger. See, the Earth wasn't destroyed yesterday. But then these lunatics put Shiva, the god of death, above it. You see, they know what they're doing. They got a death wish. They're out of control. Information. The more you study, the more you learn. It just exponentially grows.
She lit in the shadows beyond our fingertips, and none of us could reach that high. She came on like a teaser, a happy touch and teaser. Enjoy a little paradise. The rock was in my pocket when Lucy met the rocket. She never knew the reason why.
Back to your phone calls. We're steaming towards Ralph Nader in about 8-9 minutes. Let's go ahead and go to Joe in California. Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how's it going? Just want to thank you for reporting here live on the 7th anniversary of this tragic event, which has sunk this nation into never-ending wars with a domestic United States of terror, where everybody seems to be at risk of being taken away without judge or jury. And we thank you for taking action. Roy, you're on an overpass getting a lot of support with exposed the 9/11 cover-up banners, all sorts of 9/11 truth, and it seems like the people are really peace signs, waves, smiles. We got a couple of no fingers here and there, but mostly it's pretty much vast majority is supporting.
Really. Yeah, I'm hearing the honks. So you're over an overpass. Where in California, Joe?
We're by Berkeley, California, which is making a lot of news with the tree sitters and all that, and Berkeley being what it is. But reminding the people that this is the real peace movement. This is the real movement for free humanity.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. So I just wanted to keep it short, but thank you again, and remind everybody to take action against millions of the New World Order through We Are Change. Take action on the 11th of every month and listen to the Alex Jones Show.
Are you part of an organization? You want to plug a local website for folks to coordinate with?
We do, truthaction.org. We do, We Are Change San Francisco. We got a meetup page that does well, so it's not really easy to plug that. But just check out meetup.com. Go to the San Francisco Truth Action Group. I got my man Manny right here. I want to say hi real quick.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, Alex. Hey, I'm a long-time listener, man. I just wanted to put this out over the air. We're doing freeway blogging all over the Bay Area. We also encourage that any other We Are Change groups, TruthAction.org members, do the same. We're calling for a massive, massive demonstration everywhere. We need as many people on the highways as possible. This is the maximum exposure, and I think that'll do it.
Absolutely, and it ends up getting in local TV, local newspapers. Once you're out there, call the local paper, say, hey, 9/11 truth's out here on the highway, and then you reach thousands more through that total attack on the enemy operation. Good job, Manny. Good to hear from you. Man, that is exciting. They're out there taking action. Mark in Florida, you're on the air worldwide.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Love you.
Just wanted to let you know, I was driving down 95 South in towards Orlando, Florida, and I saw 5 Homeland Security vans driving down.
Oh, yeah, like they're everywhere. Federal police.
Yeah, they were going like about 100 miles per hour, and it kind of scared me a little bit. I just thought I'd let you know.
I hope they don't have explosives like the vans on 9/11 to blow up some buildings.
Yeah, I know.
So they can then save us. See, that's their business, folks, is
right.
Terror so they can exist.
Right. Well, just wanted to inform you, Alex. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that call. Yeah, a lot of bad things have happened. We've lost a lot of freedoms, but the good news is humanity is responding. Humanity is saying no. And the globalists have gone from having 50% approval ratings or more down to about 9. Oh, you destroyed yourselves when you killed those 3,000 people. You went too far, like tyrants always do. Roman in California, you're on the air.
Good morning, Alex. I called in on this Patriot Day to illustrate the fact that the clandestine Freemasonic Lodge is actually the oldest terrorist network in the world. Can you speak to that? And real quick, I'd just like to tell everyone to buy your books and movies, because without that, you can't do this show.
Well, I appreciate your call. I was talking to a Mason just the other day, because I saw his Mason ring, and he's a low-level Mason. He doesn't know that it's occultic at the top. But then I was, you know, directing him in a way that he could discover more about that. Most Masons are, they join it to be fraternal, they join it to help people, they join it because they're told the founding fathers and the founders of Texas and this and that were part of it. But that's how they find out. At the higher levels, they then have you write essays on yourself and what you believe. And if you're a moral person, you get put in one group working for them. And if you're immoral, they compartmentalize you in the bad side. And then they tell you at the higher levels, oh, we're the good and the bad. You know, we're the yin-yang. And that's kind of their Illuminati system. But then, see, a Mason will say, oh, terrorist organization, you mean like the founding fathers fighting British tyranny? Well, but they don't want you to know that George Washington then wrote about how the Masonic organizations were being taken over later. And George Washington wrote about that. So anything secretive, anything powerful is going to have evil people trying to get control of it. And it predates Christianity, so it's going to have the occult in it. And it's esoteric, and anything, quote, esoteric, you know, means hidden. And you're always going to find the occult there. The occult just means hidden. And what's hidden? What would get you burned at the stake, being anything but Christian? And so that's what you're going to find there. The secular, or not of Christ, you are going to find there. So that's just the facts. And I'm not judging people or hating people. I'm not on some high horse, folks. I'm not perfect. I am a Christian, and I don't mean the establishment mainline Christian. I am a Christian. And, you know, that's the end of it. But it's not a religious show. We intellectually cover what the elites of the world are into. We intellectually cover the fact that Tony Blair's every decision is directed by some spirit guide, or that Ronald Reagan's every decision was directed by two different astrologers. Well, that's only the tip of the iceberg, the first coat of paint, the first layer of the onion, so on and so forth. We're scheduled right around now to have Ralph Nader call in. He's very busy today, but he wanted to be able to chime in about his campaign and about different congressmen and people that are discussing the fact that martial law is being geared up for. It doesn't matter if George Bush leaves office, folks. People are going to go back to sleep probably to a great extent, some of them, because they still think, oh, if a McCain gets in or a Barack Obama, everything stops. No, they have sworn allegiance. They are bought and paid for years ago, before they were put into positions of power by the establishment, that they are for this, that they support it. But I saw a video last night, it was up on Infowars.com, of Ralph Nader, you know, at a speech about this particular congressman, who they were saying, why don't you impeach Bush? Well, because he'll declare martial law. He'll launch a distractionary war against Iran. Well, that's true. So Nader's talking about the real issues, continuity of government, stage-sponsored terror, false flag terror. I mean, he's really got to be commended. He has come a long way. And I'm not here sitting in judgment, and like, but, I mean, he's gotten more hardcore. But more and more facts have come out demonstrating that. More and more evidence has come out. John, he's got so many people in his press corps. I know first he was going to be on at 45 after, then 40 after. Have you called him yourself? They got you on hold getting him good. It's good. Okay. Problem is he stacks up media, these media events, and then it goes over, and then we're late getting him on, and then he's late for another interview, and so on and so forth. But we should be talking to Ralph Nader here momentarily. Bob Woodward, Bin Laden capture, could be October surprise. We'll get into that story here out of Reuters. No consensus on who was behind September 11th global poll. And then you learn that a majority of people worldwide don't believe the official story out of that global poll. 9-1-1 truth film to be broadcast on primetime Russian TV. Zero's the film. Decent film. Particularly like the distributor of it, I'll tell you that right now. I've had some dealings. Skeptics debate 9/11 events. Daily Texan today is a UT student newspaper, but it's big. It's on newsstands free all over Austin and is read by tens of thousands of UT students, and it interviewed myself and folks at Brave New Books, and it's a somewhat of a fair article. They kind of stuck to the few things I said that were nebulous, but it's not a hit piece, so had to make it past the editor, I guess. So a lot of news dealing with that. We are now joined by presidential candidate Ralph Nader, running as an independent. And we've only got him till the end of the hour, correct, John? So we've only got about 7 minutes for the before he goes to the Washington Post. Ralph Nader, thanks for letting us cram you in. The Washington Post is waiting. 2 points. You've now spoken out about the congressman on the record saying if they were to impeach George Bush, he would launch some type of attack on Iran and then declare martial law. We know that's in PDD 51. We know that's in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. A. And then B, I'd like you to speak to Bush wanting, Cheney wanting to stage attacks, according to Cy Hirsch in New Yorker magazine, against our own ships in the Strait of Hormuz to start a war, and you're now calling for a new 9/11 investigation. Please answer those two questions, sir.
First of all, clarification on Iran. I didn't say I believed that would be the case. I said that it's important for people to be wary of an October surprise to affect the election by Bush and Cheney. October surprise could be directed toward Iran.
I thought that was an interesting article.
I bumped into Karl Rove. You know, when you were at the Democratic National Convention, Alex, I bumped into Karl Rove, who was waiting in front of me to be interviewed at Fox News. And I asked him about this. He said, absolutely not. I said, give me reasons why there's not going to be an attack on Iran. He said, one, the majority of the people are against the Iranian regime, and their favorite program is a cable show out of L.A. in California by Iranian Americans. And second, that it would completely devastate our feelers and diplomatic efforts in that direction. So he was very adamant. I mean, you can take that with a grain of salt, but I'm just telling you that's what he said. On the 9/11 investigation, I'm always asked about that. And what I say and what I've just said today in a press release going out is that this is a woefully inadequate and incomplete investigation. First of all, it was gravely underfunded to begin with. Bush and Cheney didn't even want an independent investigation if it wasn't for the bereaved family members of the attack who pressed and demanded it. We wouldn't even had it. And then there was a question about its independence. You remember, they wanted Henry Kissinger to head it, and he had to drop out because he had a conflict of interest with his corporate clients, etc. And third, they started out saying they weren't going to name names or hold anybody responsible. What kind of investigation process is that? I mean, that is ridiculous. Finally, there are just a lot of questions that have been raised. Some of them that appear to be sound. Some of them appear to be plausible. Some of them appear to be outlandish. And more of the American people are generating skepticism about what happened before, during, and after the 9/11 attack. So I think we need another independent investigative effort, whether it's by the voters and a referendum in New York City, which is underway, or by some other independent authoritative force that can have subpoena power and adequate funding. The interesting thing about this is that this is what I've been pressing for. I want a four-hour debate at the National Press Club, Alex, with an intermission, between a leading proponent supporting the 9/11 investigation and report and a leading opponent with all the press there. Because it's like ships passing in the night. You got the proponents coming forth. You got the critics coming forth.
And they shoot volleys at each other. Yeah, they shoot volleys.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's something that can be done. Okay. And it can be done fast before the election. And it would be sensational because, you know, as someone who's skilled in polemics, if A makes a charge against B's position and B makes a charge against A's position, and then they go at it on one issue after another, 5-6 exchanges, you know, someone's going to be left on the floor after that.
And we know who that's going to be. Well, in closing, we've only got about 2 minutes left with you. In closing, to be specific about my statement and what you said in Denver, you're saying there has been false flag or provocations or Gulf of Tonkin events before, and you were saying that Cy Hirsch story needed to be looked at. I'm not saying you were saying it was going to happen, but is government-sponsored terror throughout history with other governments, our government, is that real?
Oh, of course. I mean, the greatest civilian casualties, whether in World War II, World War I, and all the way to today, are state-sponsored. I mean, a million civilians in Iraq have lost their lives.
But, I mean, government
states... Hundreds of more Palestinian civilians have lost their lives compared to Israeli.
Sir, but government... But what I'm saying is governments do stage events and blame it on their enemies.
Well, sure. I mean, look at the Tongkang Gulf Resolution, right, by Lyndon Johnson during the war. And, provocations in order to enter into hostilities. We did it in 1898, with Cuba, it's just something that should be inquired into. I think most Americans want that.
Okay, in closing, I want to give out your website, tell folks about it. I'm really supporting you now because you're getting hardcore. You've always been hardcore, but more and more you're really hitting on all cylinders, and on my opinion, from my perspective. But in closing, 1 minute, you were 2 days ago, big press conference with Ron Paul. He's saying support independence now more than ever. We need some type of fusion party for this election, for the next. There's more support than ever. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, never in American history have libertarians and conservative parties got together with progressive and green parties, and they did yesterday, as you said, at the National Press Club at a press conference, and they got together on four issues: foreign policy, we got to get out of Iraq, stop policing the world, etc., take the threat of a nuclear first strike off against all nations, second, privacy, Patriot Act, Military Commissions Act, FISA legislation, snooping, we got to reject the practice of torture, elimination of habeas corpus, secret tribunals, secret prisons. Got to get rid of immunity for corporations like the telephone companies that spy on the American people, and reject the unitary presidency, which is undermining the U.S. Constitution. Three, the national debate. We're putting taxes on our kids and grandkids, financing the war in Iraq for deficit financing. Finally, the Federal Reserve is a government within a government. It's not accountable. It's funded by the banks. It needs to be thoroughly investigated. And finally, there should be a crackdown aggressively on corporate crimes, corporate criminals, and frauds.
Mr. Nader, we're out of time. Give your website. Say it again.
Our website, Alex, is votenader.org. You can get this historic concurrence with all these parties, with Ron Paul being the moderator yesterday to national.
Okay, stay there. Stay there for 1 second. Votenader.org. Stay there 1 second. Through Friday from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here. The Senate doesn't pop in today. It'll be next week. We're lining Ron Paul up for next week as well. Got some other big guests cooking in the hopper. And we are very, very honored that you are tuned in today. I do have another guest, William Engdahl, joining us. I'm going to take calls a little bit in this segment and the next. Just one, as many as I can, Stephen Cannon and others. Before I do that, what moves the ball down the field? Like nothing else, films. And the power of you, the listeners, getting Fabled Enemies, Truth Rising, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terror, Martial Law, the films I've produced, the films I've directed, is so important. And the other books and videos we carry by other great researchers, and the other books I published and films I produced that I didn't direct, like Fabled Enemies. Infowars.com. Infowars.com. Go there if you're online. Order the DVDs. That way you've got something high quality to show to your friends, your family, your neighbors, something high quality to make copies of, something important, a record in case they shut the web down. Don't just think it's going to be there tomorrow. They're always banning my videos and doing this and that. Plus, it's cruddy quality on YouTube and Google. You can go up there right now and burn DivX copies to normal CDs that look almost as good as DVD at PrisonPlanet.tv for Truth Rising and Fabled Enemies. And we've had a CD in now for about a year. The quality of PrisonPlanet.tv is just top-notch now. The download, the streaming, Flash, it's all there. The extras for Endgame are up there. The extra extras I did just for the web are there. The extras for Fabled Enemies are there. The extras for Truth Rising. The extras for Fabled Enemies just went up 2 days ago. So, Order Fabled Enemies on DVD at InfoWars.com. Watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. But most importantly, burn copies of all the films. Continue to get them out to people. I'm risking my life here to be the tip of the spear, because I know you're supporting me and you're in this fight with me. And I know we're affecting change. And I know we don't have a choice. But I'm committed. And we're doing this for all the right reasons. And that's why you resonate with us. We resonate with you. We are together. Whether you're old, black, Hispanic, Asian, purple, polka dotted, I don't care. We are all human beings with the same history, the same past, the same blood, the same honor. We're going to defeat this new world order together. Steve in Canada, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Just a quick statement. I just wanted to let everybody know these neocons. We got to keep rubbing this in their faces. All this garbage that they're spewing out at us. Every time they do something, we got to keep letting them know. You know, throw a background. Like they have their cremation of care. I think we should have a resurrection of care. Bring back all those little cares that they don't want to worry about and ram it down their neocon throat.
No, that's it. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I think we're doing a good job.
You know what the biggest proof is? You know what the biggest proof is? We've taken the 9/11 murders away from them. They were using those murders as fuel in their engine, as coal in their furnace to drive their devil train. The fact that they say, forget about 9/11 now. 9/11 is not an issue. Forget about it. Forget about it. They don't have as much coverage of it now because they know we've taken it away from them. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. But everybody I talk to, I do get a little frustrated. I do hit that brick wall that I think every one of us hits with, you know, friends and family. And, you know, I try not to come across.
Well, sir, stay there. I'll hold you over. One minute break. You can't sell your family a vacuum cleaner. Any salesman will tell you who knows how to sell. Okay, this is just sales 101. You can't sell your family. Your family disrespects you. They see you. They think you're trying to boss them. It's easy to sell a stranger. So your family wants to giggle and snicker and suck their thumbs like monkeys. Let them do it. Move on. Stay there.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We stand for truth and liberty and justice. And our enemies have taken that sacred duty and claim that they are the knights in shining armor when they are murdering degenerate cults. It is time for good men and women to stand up and take the field against the enemy. Steve in Canada, then Ingrid, Steve, Jesse, and others. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Alex, yeah, the only other thing I wanted to have a quick statement is these guys who are taking money, you know, as bribes to go along with the big power struggle, and they're living life high on the hog. I don't think they realize that they're actually fueling the death of the economy and all the rest of it. And before long, the money that they're getting is not going to be worth the paper it's written on.
Oh, no, they realize that. They want to implode it to get all the real assets. Now, some of their minions don't, but they want to hurt the economy. That's in thousands of white papers.
Oh, exactly. I agree with that. The New World Order wants to do that, but I'm talking about the little robots who they're paying off. You know, these guys in Congress, these guys in the Senate, all the other little robots who they're paying off.
And by the way, the U.S. government's so corrupt, it's not even the U.S. government. They do. They just pay off foreign leaders, I mean, with cash, illegally. Our troops, it's just all criminal.
Oh, of course, everybody.
And you're right, they're paying them back with money that's basically already on fire. It's burning.
Right. So they're actually, you know, they're hurting this for their kids and their grandkids.
It's like they're giving them a goblet of wine with a hole in the bottle with the wine running out.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, these guys, they don't have a clue on what they're doing. All they see is dollar signs, and they don't realize that their kids and grandchildren are not going to have a future if they keep doing what they're doing. So they're going to
their grandkids are drinking sodium fluoride right now. They take
exactly.
Your soul, folks. I appreciate your call. Absolutely disgusting, but we suffer the little children, folks. Most people are like brain-damaged children, but we must take care of them. The enemy does that so they can feed on them. Ingrid in Vegas. You're on the air, Ingrid.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
I educated my friend on the 9/11 truth, and last night at 11 o'clock, we were in a casino near his house, and he said he had to go home for a minute and he'll be back. And he came back at exactly midnight, the anniversary of the 9/11. And I noticed that some people were looking at us strange, and I didn't know why. Then he turned around, and he had a white T-shirt on, and in the back, he had in big red letters, 9/11 was an inside job.
Yes.
And he's going to make me a T-shirt right now, and then we're going to go out and give out some of your videos.
You know, I later saw a video on YouTube. Are you the lady that got harassed for 9/11 stickers?
Yes. No, in the car, yeah.
Yeah, by the police for a 9/11 sticker.
Yes. That was us.
Amazing. Small world. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to add?
I just want to tell you, Dad, what we're doing here in Las Vegas.
Well, super job. Very exciting, Ingrid. Let's cram in Steve in Arizona. Thank you. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? Listen, keep up the great work, man. I hope you don't stop your radio show because me and my family listen to you every day and we need it. Listen, I just wanted to ask you about why you think Bush did his inauguration the 3 minutes or 5 minutes earlier this last time, and if that's going to play into the next inauguration time with martial law or anything like that.
I just think they got behind. They just did what they wanted to. They're all about changing the way things have been and bringing in the new. Like Congress used to basically be above the White House, above the executive. Then the executive argued that, no, it was a unitary executive that was above Congress. First, you know, Congress threw out the common law. It was supposed to be, you know, equal, co-equal, but Congress was really made the laws, had the money, so they were with the president, and the judicial was kind of below that in the order of things. But then it became equal, and now the president just says, shut up, you don't get to see anything, I rule. And so that's what we're talking about. Anything else?
No, that's it, Alex. Just keep up the great work. God bless you and your family, and thank you so much.
God bless you, my friend. Thanks for all the prayers. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
William Engdahl is an academic, a journalist, an author, a researcher, writes for Global Research. He has quite a bio. And we're going to do in a few weeks a two-hour interview with him on his new book, Full Spectrum Dominance, The Shadow Government, The Continuity of Government System, how they're setting it up worldwide to be controlled. You'll still have nations. They're just dominated by a global government that sits above through the national security states that bypass the capitals and the parliaments and the legislatures. And then they just basically are foot soldiers who implement what the COG tells them. That's coming up in a few weeks when his book comes out. I want to hold him a little bit, 5 minutes to the next hour, so he gets a full hour. Then Bob Chapman's joining us. We'll take calls then. It is the 9/11 false flag anniversary inside job. More on that as it develops. We got guys on the ground in New York and across the country. Briefly, for listeners who don't know who you are, William, tell us who you are in a nutshell, what parts of the bio you think are most important, and then you've got the floor, what you discovered in your in-depth research on what GMO is all about, dominating a market, controlling the larger eugenics operation, because we need to understand how these master architects are designing and controlling our society. It's just amazing. So you've got the floor, sir. Introduce yourself, tell us the most important info, and then lay it out.
Okay, Alex. Thank you. Well, just very briefly, I've been at this for some 36 years now. And it started during the 70s when I was working as a journalist in New York City during the first oil shock. And I became not intrigued, but simply drawn to understand what was behind that whole oil shock and the manipulation of prices by 400%, the role of people like Henry Kissinger. And that began a decades-long research into the structures of power, I guess you will, which led me into a much more refined field that was established first by a British geographer named Halford Mackinder in the beginning of the last century, 1904, called Geopolitics, the relation between geography and political power. Henry Kissinger is a student of Mackinder Geopolitics, as is Obama's foreign policy advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski. Both Kissinger is backing, of course, John McCain in the coming election. So I've been looking at aspects of power and how power is exercised, from the rise and decline of the British Empire three centuries ago down to the First World War, Second World War, and the emergence of the American century after the 1940s. And that led me into a quote that Kissinger gave sometime during the 1970s, where he said, "If you control oil, you control entire nations or groups of nations. If you control food," Kissinger said, "you control people." And the volume Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation, I've been working since the 1980s on the whole question of agribusiness, the grain cartel, the control of the food chain through three or four highly private companies such as Cargill, Archer Daniels, Midland, Bunge. It used to be Continental Grain, no longer. And the industrialization of agriculture. And that led me to, some years ago, begin research on a phenomenon called genetic engineering of plants. And at first I thought, well, perhaps this is a case where science is doing mankind some good. They've come up with a more efficient way, higher yields, less pesticides, less chemicals. The hype sounded pretty good. As I dug deeper, I not only became quite alarmed at the case studies of farmers across the United States, in Argentina, and also in limited cases here in Germany. I came to know many of these farmers personally, and the stories they have to tell about GMO plants would make your hair stand on end. In any case, that wasn't the reason I wrote the Seeds of Destruction book. The reason I wrote it is because as I dug deeper, I found out that the entire project of GMO was financed from the get-go by the same family foundation which financed the Nazi race science eugenics during the 1920s and 1930s. And when I say Nazi race science, I mean the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute in Berlin and in Munich, where they did brain research, they did forced sterilization experiments, and so forth.
And that predates Hitler, and that, of course, was a Rockefeller family. I haven't read your book, but I know that from the research. And again, this is, from my study, it's an absolute fact, not my opinion or your opinion, the foundation of all the modern social planning and the direction of all the sciences is to carry out aggressive negative eugenics. Correct. Against the population. Go ahead.
Right, and the Nazis called it creating the master race and eliminating the inferior races. Auschwitz and places like that were connected with that whole enterprise. Joseph Mengele, the doctor of death, he was a part of this Nazi eugenics. And many of these scientists, interestingly enough, were brought back on the quiet by the Rockefeller Foundation and their networks to do research. They were sheep-dipped and laundered into respectable German scientists or whatever, and continued their work in various institutions in New York State and elsewhere.
And here's a microcosm with the Cold Springs Harbor. You have Dr. Watson, not the IBM eugenicist who funded a lot of it and the machines that were used for listeners, but the other Watson, who just said a few months ago, blacks aren't human.
Right.
Basically, and got in trouble and lost his job at the Human Genome Project at Cold Springs Harbor. Well, he was there as a graduate student during when it was the eugenics facility running the Genome Project. So the names have changed, but it's never stopped.
Well, they got into an embarrassment right after the war when all the Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen, the various gas ovens, came out in the Nuremberg trials. And they said, well, the new name of eugenics is genetics. And then John D. Rockefeller III, who was a passionate eugenicist, race reducer, if you will, he founded something called the Population Council with the Frederick Osborne, the former president of the American Eugenics Society. And Osborne, if you go to Princeton, one of the elite American universities, and go to the Osborne Fieldhouse, it's named after Frederick Osborne. He was a graduate of Princeton, at one point a member of the Board of Trustees. These are, quote-unquote, the highly respectable. The president of Stanford University wrote a book on the master race at this time. This was Salon Feig, this whole eugenics agenda in the 30s, 20s and the 30s. And Rockefeller Foundation, the same people who backed that agenda, Margaret Sanger, her family planning business and so forth, she was an intimate friend, I won't speculate on how intimate, of the Rockefeller family until her death, as well as a reputed intimate friend of H.G. Wells and other members of the elite. So this group developed a project after the 1950s, which they called the Population Council. John D. Rockefeller and Osborne founded this thing with Rockefeller money. And that started research on all sorts of things, including creation of intrauterine devices. They were desperately trying to come up with something called a birth control pill. Someone else got to it before their research.
And then all their IUDs would eat women's uteruses, and it was always a mistake, but it turned out that was all by design.
Yeah. Well, it's been alleged. I won't go into the details of that for legal reasons, but it was a catastrophe. And one thing after another, their agenda has been, take what the Rockefellers, what John D. Rockefeller did in Puerto Rico, which the Rockefeller family treated as a private island plantation. They went in there in the 50s and used Puerto Rican women of childbearing age as literally, and I use the term as the Rockefellers would see it, as human guinea pigs. And they, when women would go in, they started a whole series of rural clinics and said, here the hygiene is better than having a midwife give birth to your child. Come into our local clinic and have birth for your baby. And the doctors in the clinics would sew up the ovaries of the woman so that she couldn't have further children. And at a certain point by the end of the 50s, it was estimated that something like 38% of the childbearing women in Puerto Rico had been forced sterilized by the Rockefeller Project.
Well, it's confirmed that during the 70s, George Bush Sr., before he went to China and struck the one-child policy deal they implemented in, a few years later in 1980, that they sterilized on some reservations more than 40% of the women. Same deal. You go in to have the baby, and then they sew you up there on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is what we're dealing with when we're dealing with GMO. Why do I say that? That's I know for some listeners that might be an extreme position, but Rockefeller Foundation initiated a whole field called microbiology back in the late 1930s when they were doing the eugenics. In order, they were, if you will, in a mad pursuit of a method for reducing life down to a little tiny little atom called a DNA or a gene, and then manipulating that gene so that they could literally play God and control life and what shape life would take or wouldn't take at all. And so they funded to the tune of more than $100 million in the Philippines at the Rice Research Institute, the so-called Golden Rice Project, which is a total sham. They funded this GMO development.
Again, as my film Endgame states, every major modern science, Carnegie, Rockefeller, and it's all funded to sterilize you, to soft kill you, to keep you from passing on your genetics. And it's altering the DNA from generation to generation. Stay with us. Short segment, William Ingold. Continue with the Rockefeller Foundation, the Cold Springs Harbor, their allied laboratories, going in big, really founding what we know of now as the whole genetic modification science.
I call this the project with a capital T. the idea of patenting and genetically modifying seeds of the basic food stock of the human food chain, rice, wheat, soybeans, corn. This is what they've targeted. And more than $100 million of Rockefeller research money has gone into this since the late 1960s, early 1970s. Then the other thing that makes this a geopolitical question and not simply a question of biology is the fact that the patents are in the hands of four giant agribusiness companies, seed companies that actually started out as chemical companies and remain chemical companies.
And that's why the seeds, most of them have to have that special chemical applied.
Yeah, well, I'll go through this in a minute, Alex,
yeah,
if you bear with me. The three of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I call them, Monsanto, DuPont, and Dow Chemical, three of the four have intimate connections with top-secret Pentagon bioweapons research programs, including during the Vietnam War, the Agent Orange, PCBs, dioxins. They have lied repeatedly to the public about the danger and the contamination of those chemicals in the streams of their factories across New York State and across America. And we are told that we should trust these corporations, these agribusiness giants, to have the world's seed stock in their hands, in those private hands. Well, add to that the question of Terminator. I'll come back to your point in just a minute. But the Terminator is a popular name for something called GURTS. In the trade, they call it genetic use restriction technology. It's a very nice-sounding, scientific, neutral name. But what it means, Terminator is far more appropriate, as Arnold Schwarzenegger's films portray it.
It's a sterilizer.
Yeah, it's their variations of it. You can have traitor seeds or Terminator seeds that are activated by certain chemicals, or in the Terminator simple case, they simply give one harvest yield and then commit suicide. So the farmer has to go back to Monsanto or DuPont or Syngenta each harvest year and get new seeds. Well, imagine if farmers in China, farmers in Africa, farmers in certainly in the United States and Canada, which is already the case, they become serfs. They become modern-day medieval serfs. Enslaved to these seed giants.
Now, you're probably going to get to this. I haven't read your book. I've read one of your other books and your articles, which are excellent. But let me just interrupt and throw this in.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to get to it. I want your educated, expert opinion. I've had a lot of other folks on about this subject in the last 12 years is why I'm informed, 13 years.
Yeah.
But I've confirmed it. I didn't just believe him. That's why I know how real you're saying this is. But we have also caught these companies. This is why we know it's a covert government operation, planting their Terminator seeds and others next to other major growth belts, even in areas where it's banned, to artificially infect, say, the soybeans or the canola or the corn or the wheat with their genetics. And it's designed to infect and take over and in replications basically infest similar plant families to where this is now spreading into the biosphere. Meanwhile, the Rockefellers and others have built giant underground bunkers with all the original seeds. I mean, this is diabolical.
Well, it's you're talking about the Doomsday Seed Vault up in Svalbard near the North Pole that just opened up in June of this year with money from the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Syngenta, Monsanto, and a few other of these charming companies.
And they are the prime movers. Whatever the Gates Foundation, Microsoft is just a money collection port for Planned Parenthood. That's been proven. He's a front. His dad runs it. Whatever they're doing, you know that's key. That's the key. Go ahead.
Yeah, follow the money. The Gates Foundation started something a couple of years ago. Kofi Annan was unemployed as the former Secretary General of the UN. They gave him a nice cushy job as chairman of something called the African Green Revolution. The African Green Revolution is nothing less than an attempt with a lot of Bill Gates' money to convince the governments of Africa, who are highly skeptical of genetic manipulated seeds, to swallow these seeds and lock themselves into the seed slavery of Monsanto.
But let's stay there. But I mean, I know you're going to get into it, but the fact that it makes you a slave is, and you have to keep buying it and have to use their chemicals, that's just the surface. No, almost every variant of corn in the world has now been infected with one Monsanto variant. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is vital information.
Tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider.
Well, we're already about 25 minutes into our interview with William Engdahl, investigative journalist, author, academic researcher, amazing individual. I want to make this clear. GMO was created by the eugenicists. They understand that breeding and seeds and animals is key. And they've just conditioned us to announce, hey, clone beef on store shelves now without labels. Clone chickens, cloned cows. It's all out there now. It's all been announced. Oh, we're doing cross-species human hybrids for organ harvesting. But we're keeping them small down at the little embryo level. And then you read deeper in the research, they're not. That's the stuff they admit. Splicing humans with pigs, insects. Going back 20 years ago, they admit spiders with goats for body armor. It is completely out of control. And I've had all these top genetic engineers, people that were running major companies making millions a year, and they would feed a new potato with one gene changed to the rats, and half the rats would die. And then if you kept feeding it, they'd all die. And they'd say, we got to tell the public, and they'd say no. And then magically, see, this is a perfect crime, because very few people can go look at this and study this and then do the multi-million dollar test to see what it does. But when they find out, they know what the studies are doing. When other groups and other institutions study it, they find it's sterilizing mammals, it's toxifying them, increasing cancer. They're finding mutations after gestation, which they'd always thought you got deformities, you know, during early embryonic development, but they're finding rats and guinea pigs and things are getting deformed and having deformities with organs and things after they're born. I mean, this is mega massive, ladies and gentlemen. That's some of the things I wanted to throw out there because this is so diabolical. I know he says it gets into all that, but I want to get your take on that. So continue walking us through this story that you cover in your amazing investigative book, sir. Please continue.
Let's take the geopolitics a step further in time and go to the year 1992, sometime after this whole GMO project was started by the Rockefeller Foundation. And we have a meeting, a closed-door White House meeting, unpublicized, between George Herbert Walker Bush, the president at the time, and the president of Monsanto in St. Louis, the leading patenter of genetically modified seeds, and also the chemical herbicides that are uniquely suited to those GMO seeds, like Roundup Ready soybean seeds and Roundup herbicide by Monsanto. You have to have both. So anyway, Monsanto sat down with Papa Bush in 1992 and said, look, this can be a huge, this was the public version of what they said. You can imagine what they said in private. This can be a huge boon, a new growth area for the U.S. economy, biotechnology, genetically modified seeds and so forth. But in order for the private sector to really do its stuff, we need to be free to be creative, free from government meddling. So Father Bush signed an executive order that is called the Substantial Equivalence Order. Now, listeners should write that down and study that word and look it up under Google because it's worth looking. Substantial equivalent means, according to Bush, according to this executive department order in 1992, that GMO corn or GMO soybean is to henceforth be treated as substantially equivalent to a normal ear of corn or a normal sprout of soybeans.
So they wave a magic wand, no more testing, no more nothing, put whatever you want on their plates, add other animal, insect, plant DNA
exactly
to it. Just I'm the judge, jury. I'm now the EPA and the FDA. I wave a wand.
The APA and the FDA then was staffed by Monsanto people or people from DuPont and Dow in a revolving door system, and they would write the rules for the EPA. The EPA would accept the tests of Monsanto as Bible truth and never second-guess them. I mean, the criminal conflict of interest here is just staggering, and most Americans think, well, we have Food and Drug Administration that is mandated to protect the food and health of the American people. Well, guess again, ladies and gentlemen. They aren't doing that in Washington since at least 1992.
Briefly, I just want to add this, and I'm going to try to let you go. Just there's so much I want to back up. Remember the different university studies they did in the U.S. and Europe, where they found that if an authority figure said kill one in a test, they thought in the university they were really killing people. 90%+ of the time they would commit the murder just because an authority figure told them it was okay to do in a university study. Remember the electroshocks? It's the same thing. The president says no more restrictions, no more testing. They would then follow the orders, even though whistleblowers came out and said, this is deadly. This is going to kill people. They just said, nope, the president says it's good.
Well, one of the most famous cases of whistleblowers, a dear friend of mine, Dr. Arpad Pustai, who's
interviewed
living
him
in Scotland, and he was fired from Rowett Research Institute at the time, 1997. He was the world's leading GMO researcher and thought it was a positive boon for mankind, a solution to world hunger. And he did exactly the kind of research you're talking about with laboratory rats and potatoes. And this man is no amateur. He's now 77 years old and highly informed and careful scientist. And he found that the brains, the inner organs of the rats fed on GMO potatoes diet for more than 3 months were dramatically shrunken. And he told his boss and said, we have to sound the alarm on this. They went on Channel 4, a prominent British television channel. It was picked up all around the world for 72 hours. And then suddenly it was dead in the water. You never heard another word about Darth.
And then they fired him. Thank God for him blowing the whistle. I interviewed him several times. I've dropped out of touch with him. I need to get his number again. We had a computer fail. I need to get him back on, but go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. He's more than willing to talk about these dangers. But as he puts it, basically the British government was willing to make the population human guinea pigs in something that should be at the very, very minimum, 20 or more years of long-term, totally controlled animal studies before the genie is released and set forth on the human.
And by the way, you just glazed over that. It did a lot more to the rats. It caused the bizarre afterbirth deformity. It caused them to have intestinal tumors, all sorts of medical problems.
These were some other experiments, so far as I know, but
on my show, he was covering the other experiments that other...
Okay, but that... In other words, it's highly unstable, as Dr. Pustai repeatedly points out. This is not some stable alteration. It's not like hybrid corn where you breed two strains of corn for weather resistance. This is introducing foreign genetic material. This is unnatural alteration of the DNA.
But that's what Rush Limbaugh does. And you know, he goes on and he says, when you breed two dogs, that's genetic engineering. When you cross the corn like George Washington Carver, but that's natural breeding. That's how things naturally mixed in
the
wild.
It's the same species.
It's not with a gene gun firing reptile genetics into a salmon gene and then and then putting that in corn.
Yeah. Well, let me give another example, which is, I think, one of the emblematic examples. In 2001, a small San Diego biotech company called Epicete, maybe you've heard of it, few people have. Epicete, the president of Epicete, gave a press conference. He was just as pleased as punch to announce this to the world. And he said, back behind me, we have a greenhouse full of spermicidal corn. That is corn genetically modified so that men, this is not animals, men who eat this corn will become sterile. And it's a spermicide. It kills sperm. And he said this is a solution to the world population problem. If you live in Mexico, you know how, or if you even travel through Mexico and Central America, so you know that corn is a staple of the peasant diet
and that's going to jump into other corn, open air planted, just like Proteogene with the AIDS virus jackets in the corn, and then that happened 8 years ago and was quietly covered up. Unbelievable.
Yep. Well, as one scientist from Stanford University's put it, you would think that no one in their right mind would do something like this. But as he put it, and he worked on the Jason project with the Pentagon as a biologist and so forth, so he knew a little bit the inside story. He said, not everybody is in their right mind. And that, I think, sums it up. There are people in a power elite. For them, power is a self-feeding aphrodisiac of some perverse sort that I don't fully understand. But they are different from ordinary human beings, and they just human life is for them simply an externality. As long as they and their friends are provided for as they see fit, then the rest of the human species would.
Well, I agree. I agree, but it's worse than that. A lot of top futurists, top globalists have written, and history shows it with Nero and you know the craziness. Vlad the Impaler, they go crazy and they become nihilistic and self-destructive. And so you hear them writing about it. Even the head people at Hadron are saying, well, there's a small chance it'll destroy the Earth, but we don't care. And they put the death god Shiva above it. Or you talk to these geneticists and they go, so what? So if we make something that takes over the planet, that's regular evolution because we evolved and did it. And so what if it kills us all? We need to be killed. I mean, these are maniacs, and they get off on like driving a car at 100 miles an hour around jagged turns. A lot of Hollywood folks do stuff like that and get killed. You know, like James Dean, it is just a complete mania.
Yep. And now, go back a little bit to the 1950s, because the Rockefeller Foundation, again, was behind this project, called the Agribusiness Project of the Harvard Business School. John W. Davis, who was a former assistant agriculture secretary under Eisenhower, Ray Goldberg, who still kicking at age 91 and sits on the board of several GMO companies, Goldberg and Davis created something called agribusiness. They invented the term. And what their goal was to vertically integrate the entire food production, distribution, processing and distribution into a mega industry, globalized, first in the United States and then globalized in the last 15, 20 years. And in doing so, and then adding as the icing on the cake, patented seeds, GMO seeds, and in a few years there'll be seeds secretly filled with Terminator, ostensibly to protect patent rights of Monsanto et al. They will have control, and they will be able, in a military sense, to exercise strategic denial. If a country like Iraq or Iran or Zimbabwe or any other priority hate object of a particular Washington government, God forbid that we would ever have a government which doesn't exercise reason and justice in Washington, but in case that were to happen. And they would simply say, okay, Monsanto, cut off the seed supply of Zimbabwe, cut off the seed supply of China, cut off the seed supply of Azerbaijan.
And they've been running around grabbing up, paying 10 times what it's worth, in one case I saw, for heirloom seed companies. They've bought up almost all of them, and then they hoard the seeds, shut them off, no longer sell them, let those seed lines die in the public domain. And then in places like Iraq, where they have captured clients, they're forcing total conversion over to the GMO, and then it's jumping in to all of its naturally occurring variants.
Well, Iraq is a particularly strategic area, because Iraq is the ancient biblical Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization. The valley between the Tigris and Euphrates was the first cultivation of wheat. And they have more wheat varieties in a seed bank in Iraq before the last war.
Yeah, not for long.
Yeah, well, the seed bank disappeared. It happened to be in a place called Abu Ghraib. Some of your listeners might have heard of that. And it utterly disappeared off the face of Iraq.
Now a death dungeon, yes.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing. And then you have Bill Gates Foundation and Rockefeller and Monsanto building the Doomsday Seed Vault, impermeable to nuclear attack or any other kind of natural or man-made disaster up there in the North Sea, in the North Pole.
They know what they're doing. They're going to, in fact, a Monsanto executive, 9 years ago, was actually even in the big eugenics publication, The Front, National Geographic, but they even admitted there, they had the quote, to paraphrase, well, we're just going to infect everything with our genetics and then use courts to basically take over those companies. And that's what they do. They infect you and then charge you for having their genetics.
Yeah. It's control. It's about total control. Full spectrum dominance is the military side of it. The next book that I'm publishing, but the control over the food, you control the people, as Kissinger said.
Well, I want you to hit the key points, but right now, Global Research, great folks, Michelle Chosadowski, they published your book. By the way, I want to carry it. I just got so busy, I haven't bought it in bulk from them. I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure it's excellent. I carry some other...
I think your readers would find it more than worthwhile, and I would be very happy to have you.
Well, we do carry some books on GMO by some other great scholars, but this guy's dead on, great researcher, but he's good on the full spectrum, speaking of that term. Other guests we have on seem to be specialists. You seem to be somewhat of a generalist, but also with a lot of detailed knowledge in each area. That's what I do. Give out the phone number, give out the website, tell folks about the book.
Okay. The book is available through Global Research, www.globalresearch.ca for Canada. The book is called Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation, F. William Engdahl. And it's available, I don't have the current price in mind, but if you go direct to the publisher, the published USA price is $24.95, and... if you go direct to the publisher, you get, as I believe, a discount on that.
Now, do you have a personal site, or you just write for them?
No. I have a personal site. I write worldwide. My writings are picked up in...
give out the site, because I see so many sites with you on it, I'm not sure which one to plug.
My personal site, which is a compilation of all languages of my writings and so forth, is www.oilgeopolitics.net.
That's right. We plugged that last week. And we'll put that up on screen for folks. Give that out one more time.
Okay. www. And then my last name, engdahl. And one word, oilgeopolitics.net. N-E-T.
Okay, I'm going to skip this break for the Infowars.com stream listeners and PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. For everybody else, we'll be back in 3 minutes, but I can't waste any time on this subject. It's so important. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about the fact that we won a major victory. We can defeat these people, but then they came in with a counterstrike. So that's the moral of the story. The fight goes on. It's the long march. It's the going the distance that matters. Stay with us. Okay, William.
A day unlike any other in the long
time. I'm going to go back to him, John.
A terrorist.
I'm going to go back to him. I'm going to skip this break. William, this is so important. If you can't do it, it's fine. I want to move Bob Chapman when he calls in 10 minutes back about 15 because I want to finish this up, and I've been adding a lot, but I know he's got more he wants to add.
Okay, we can go to a few minutes after the hour, if that's okay.
I know your back gets to you. How far do you want to go?
5 minutes after the hour would be fine.
Okay, and then we'll do, in a few weeks when your book comes out, the full spectrum dominance discussion.
That'd be excellent.
Okay, well, when Chapman calls, just tell him to stay on hold then. Okay, that's fantastic. And I really want to appreciate your scholarly work and your research. I look forward to do you ever come to the United States?
Seldom. It's a physically exhausting trip, and I seldom get there.
I understand. I would like to, maybe we'll pay for a satellite uplink and do it. I would like to interview you for another, you haven't seen my film Endgame. I'm going to make a similar film. It won't be Endgame, about all this, and it'll reach millions of people. I would like to interview you and others for that film coming up in the next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. I'm sure we can find some electronic. I do it with the Russian TV, with Chinese media, all sorts of places all over the world. So I'm sure we can figure out something.
Absolutely. I'll get you in the chair over there, and we'll do that interview that way. That's absolutely fabulous. Yeah, I've got a couple satellite uplink places right down the street. I was just in one for Press TV for an hour yesterday, and I've done Russia Today as well. And in fact, that's where we learned about you. I'd seen your articles, but hadn't put two and two together when I saw you on Russia Today. That was good.
Russia Today. Oh, Johnson's.
Well, you may not have. It was a phone interview, but you were on Russia Today. I saw.
Okay. Okay. No, I did a phone interview with Real News, I think it was, on Georgia about 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, they must have picked a clip up of it and put it on Russia Today.
Okay, that can be.
Yeah, they tend to do that. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. We're going to go live right now, and I want to talk about some of the victories we've had, and then I'm just going to give you the floor the last 5 minutes. Other you know, hitting key points here for the listeners. Are you enjoying the radio interview?
Oh, very much. Very much.
Well, we really appreciate you. It's so hard to grasp how big and evil this is, just how real it is. It's so diabolical. It's like a comic book or something with, you know, what the evil mastermind comes up with. Okay, here we go.
You hope that you'll join me in this new sense of American security? Call eFoodsDirect.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 1-800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. Call them today. You'll be glad you did.
The American people are the guinea pigs. It's all tested here. The fluoridation of water, the mercury in vaccines, the sterilization. The Rockefellers really got their power. 30-plus states had forced sterilization laws. They carry out their eugenics operations. They founded the Human Genome Project. Their head scientist saying blacks weren't human a few months ago had to step down, Dr. Watson. This is what they're up to. And they're playing God. And they are intelligent. They do have a lot of foresight. But when the people said no to human growth hormone in the milk, they just passed laws where you basically can't label it. Or when the people said, we want organic food and started buying it, they just passed a law saying it can be 75% inorganic, genetically spliced, and they'll call it organic. So they're hitting us at every level. And they'll go in and pay $100 million payments to African countries just to get this food in. And folks all over the world are saying no, so companies have been caught illegally planting in places like Brazil. I mean, they want to get it in. They want to infest. They come in and plant their seeds, and they've caught retired Royal Mounted Police, you know, literally throwing GMO seeds into the gutters by fields. I mean, this is bio warfare. 3 minutes left in this segment, then 5 in the next. You've got to leave us. Bob Chapman coming up. You've got the floor. I'm going to shut up. I've brought in my points. Other key areas we haven't covered.
Well, to go back to this project from the 1950s to give readers an idea, this project is very concrete. You know, if you think of some vast abstract conspiracy, then you feel hopeless and overwhelmed. But it's very concrete, and I think that's important. That's what I try to do in all of my books, to give people a sense of the actual concrete individuals who are doing this, the actual concrete institutions and so forth. And this agribusiness project, I think, is absolutely essential to understand. You go into a supermarket today, because of modern advertising, most American shoppers think food is grown in a supermarket, at the Giant or Walmart or what will you. And this is a product of something called agribusiness. You no longer have the possibility to go to a farmer's market in most parts of the country. Similar thing in Europe, although you do still have institutions in France, Germany, and elsewhere of these weekly farmers' markets, thank goodness. But more and more of those are getting agribusiness tomatoes from Holland or South Africa or whatever. But the vertical integration of the food chain in the hands of 3 or 4 giant multinational companies, the grain trade is in the hands of essentially 3 giant corporations, one of them, Cargill Corporation, is a private family-held corporation. The former chairman of it, Whitney McMillan, was a Skull and Bones member, along with the Bush father and son at Yale University. And they have more power than most governments. They determine the power, and this I documented in on-the-spot research, talking to principals involved at the European Commission in Brussels in Belgium. Back in the 1980s, they determine European Union grain policies. They were the ones who determined that the grain mountains would be eliminated in Europe and also in the United States just in time for their policy of biofuels, burning corn, burning different crops like canola or rapeseed as automobile fuel instead of using it for the human food chain or the animal food chain. And what has that done in the last 3 years since 2005 and the Bush administration provided these huge incentives for biofuels to farmers? Half of the corn crop of the United States of America is burned for transport fuels. It's absolutely criminal. So this is the kind of thing that they're playing around with this agribusiness, this cartelization, monopolization of the food chain, and that is a highly unhealthy process for the human species.
All right, got a break. 1 minute break. Final segment with F. William, our guest, just an amazing researcher, F. William Engdahl. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. This is Warfare.
Thank you for listening to
I'm going to skip this 1 minute break, too. Yeah, for the internet listeners, William, we're skipping this little break right now. This thing goes up on prisonplanet.tv. They're watching live. They're listening live, and it's magnified as it spills out onto all the web channels. And it's important, viewers, to not just put this up on YouTube and Google, but other tracks, because we've caught YouTube and Google erasing a lot of our stuff. Hit them there. That's where it goes viral. But hit the enemy at every other point. Let's come back and wrap this up for folks. The fact that this really is a military operation, as you said, and kind of go back to the beginning, back to the start, so we can recap. The fact that the eugenicists, as you document your book and your research, started all of this, and then any other points you want to make in the final 5 minutes we have. Okay.
Well, Alex, I'd like to make one very crucial point. A lot of people are of the impression that this is all a question of corporate greed. Monsanto has corporate greed, Syngenta, Dow, DuPont, and so forth. It's not corporate greed. They wouldn't have taken such a high risk.
It's eugenics. It's their religion. They want to kill everybody. Stay there. Come in and tell them. See, I've never read your book, but I know the answer, because they say they're going to kill us. Here we go. Now into the fourth and final hour, we've got Bob Chapman, international forecaster, coming in with economic news, 9/11 info. Last 5 minutes with F. William Engdahl, researcher, author. In the final equation, as you talk about in your book, this is not being done for greed. It's not being done for even power. It is their religion. They believe exterminating the vast majority of the population is the goal. So lay it out, and it's in their own words. What is this really all about? Well, it's about supremacy, and the ultimate form of supremacy is genocide. Sir, you've got 4 minutes.
Well, I went through 4 years of university with some of the scions of these families, the Rockefellers, the Firestones, the DuPonts, and so forth, and they are not charming people on a one-on-one basis, I would maintain that they are, in a clinical, classical, psychoanalytical sense, these are highly paranoid people. They are terrified that the masses, as they see it, the hordes out there, are going to steal everything they've grabbed and accumulated over the decades. And therefore, I think they've gone to these lengths. And it's just it's a perversion that's taken on a life of its own, but it's literally at this point to the point where if we don't roll this back in some way or another, it may already be too late in terms of GMO. The genie may be out of the bottle. Some serious scientists think that may be the case. I think not, so long as in Western Europe there is massive resistance on the grassroots level against GMO. The governments have not been able to satisfy Monsanto and the other gene giants in terms of promoting this in Europe, because there's too much backlash against it. They have had extreme difficulties in Asia, in China, in Africa, and so forth. And so they tried to pull something off at the Rome Food Summit in June. They made an extra effort to play up the world hunger emergency with the tripling of the price of rice, the basic food staple of more than 1.5 billion people or 2 billion people across Asia. And they invited the Pope Benedict as a personal distinguished guest to the conference in the hopes that he would give a papal blessing to GMO as a solution to the world hunger crisis.
And he didn't, did he?
He didn't do it. I won't go through all the details as it was told to me by people in Rome who were highly informed, but thank the Lord that he didn't do it. But that just shows you that this... And suddenly the theme of world hunger disappeared from the agenda.
Their operation didn't succeed. Let's point out that even within the eugenicists, some of them don't like it, like Prince Philip and Prince Charles. They're evil. Yeah. They want to exterminate people, and we have their names on those documents. I mean, they've stated it. But they're like, don't do it this way, and they're right. I mean, this endangers everything. And I also want to add, it's not just the elites. You've got, like in Blade Runner, little shops in Hong Kong and in South Korea, as you know, where they're privately, little families, little companies, are splicing rhesus monkeys with jellyfish that glow in the dark, and that causes all sorts of viral releases from DNA, bacterial mutations. We've had a lot of scientists on about that. So there's also all these other crazy rogues out literally playing with Shiva. I mean, literally playing with Kali. I mean, this is opening the gates of hell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe the human race isn't fit to survive. I'm an optimist. I think we are.
No, I agree with you.
I wrote the book.
Well, I mean, I'm not calling for crises, but there have already been a lot of crises with this stuff and a lot of big problems. And we know it's hurting humans. Just the faster that can come out, the better, so we can really get control of this and then have heavily transparent research and maybe even have some GMO. But it's got to be... done very, very slowly, very, very carefully. Do you agree that some of it's okay if controlled properly?
No, I think the methodology of GMO is reductivist in a scientific sense and utterly flawed.
So you believe the
canon approach is that there's no way that this could be stable. There may be in the universe of possibilities some way that it can be. I won't rule that out.
Yeah.
I'm not a biologist.
It's just too dangerous. Even if you meant to do good with it, it's too dangerous. Stay there. I want to say bye to you right now for InfoWars.com viewers. Okay, sir, I'm going to have Trey call you. That professor, Arapide, I interviewed him twice. Then the computer we hadn't transferred the number got lost. I never got him back on. Let me have Trey call you in about 10 minutes, let you have a break. And can you give me his email or his phone? He's been on several times. You can just Google that so I can get him back on. And then I want to have you on in about 2 weeks when the book comes out. I want to carry it. I've read some of the synopsis of Full Spectrum Dominance. I have a big bookstore online. Well, big. It's bigger than Global Research. They're great folks. I want to. Or is Global Research publishing your new Full Spectrum Dominance?
I'm self-publishing.
Are you using a self-publisher? Are you having a bunch of them printed up?
No, I'm using a self-publisher.
Okay, well, would you like, maybe off-air I'll talk to you about carrying some of your stuff?
Well, we can talk about it. I'm open, but it's got to be on at least as good terms as I can do by...
I'm not even worried about all that, man. That's why I got you on, plugging it for somebody to buy it.
Very good.
It's just if I sell it on my website, I'll sell 20 times as much as you ever will with me plugging Global Research. Because what happens is... that's what I do every day. I have guests on, and I plug their thing. It's not even about the money. I do advertising, everything here, just to pay for making my films. They lose money, but tens of millions watch them on the web. It's all mission-oriented.
Okay.
Because my children have no future if we don't do that. So I'm just saying, yeah, no, I mean, I would... but I'm saying if you self-publish, like on some on-demand thing, or are you printing up a bunch yourself?
No, it's Books on Demand, Lightning Source.
Yeah. I know that's cost prohibitive for you to even be able to sell them to me in bulk because they charge you so much. You ought to look
have your guy get to me on some of the terms and maybe we can work something out. I'm totally open. I just want to, I'm fed up with publishers who cheat and leave me with nothing at the end of the day and don't promote the book.
No. You do much better to say have 3,000 or 4,000 printed yourself and then sell them to wholesalers like myself, like Global Research, and with 10 contacts like that, I just want your book to get out. I just want what you're doing to get out. And again, this show has total transparency. We're even on air right now just for the internet. Before we leave, give out your website one more time.
Okay. It's www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net.
Okay, well, listen, we'll get you up for a couple hours on Full Spectrum Dominance in a few weeks. Then I want to have you back on for maybe an hour sometime in a few months about those elitists you went to school with. We've had other people on, academics who've been in school with them, to describe the evil. I've had their roommates on and things. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for having me, Alex. I enjoyed it very much.
I enjoyed you. God bless you. Okay, do we have Bob Chapman?
Yes, we do. I just have to transfer him over. He is ready.
Well done. Thank you. Oh, and for all the viewers out there, all my films are free online. That's what it's all about, defeating the globalists. And only you can stop them. You can put the films out en masse to everybody on your email list, and we can defeat them. All of us. It's that attitude of victory, knowing we're going to have it. Let's go live! We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. For the next 51 minutes, we are joined by Bob Chapman. Now, coming up at the bottom of the hour in 20 minutes, we'll open the phones up for 9/11 Truth, economic questions, anything you want to discuss. But so much has been happening. Unbelievable discussion we just had with F. William Indahl in the last hour. But Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all the things that are developing. What does this mean, having the Treasury take it over? Bailing out the Federal Reserve, again, a massive consolidation happening. You're going to pay taxes on all of this with all these foreigners buying our debt. I mean, but talking to an economist, former military intelligence, has had the biggest newsletter in the world till he retired. Now it's one of the biggest again. The InternationalForecaster.com, also, he and Gary Allen were partners. That woke me up when I was a teenager reading None Dare Call Conspiracy. I'd already heard it all in history and read it, but it really brought it home, the big picture, how they control the left and right, the communist and the fascist, the socialist. So he's just an amazing person, and we're glad we can have him on to pop in this week and spend time with us. Bob Chapman, it is good to have you here. But since it's 9/11, first give us your take on the 9/11 cover-up. It seems it's collapsing with all these big names coming out and saying an investigation is an inside job, could be an inside job. The biggest comedian in France, friends with Sarkozy, congressmen coming out, a guy with millions and millions of followers. Of course, Ralph Nader on earlier saying, yes, our government stages terror attacks. Our people are in New York and all over the country right now handing out free DVDs and pamphlets. They're saying everybody's coming up, taking the stuff. Almost everyone believes it's an inside job. It's exponential. Your take on that and then the economy.
Well, my take on that is it's about time. And people are so slow to react as far as 9/11 is concerned. They like to put it in the back of their mind that nobody I knew, get killed there or get injured there, and so let the government sort it out. Well, I believe anybody who saw what happened that day and the collapse, the professionally collapsed building, knew right away that something was dramatically wrong. And so people are finding out, and they're becoming more outspoken about it. And I think in time there will be finally a real investigation to find out who did what to us. And that's coming. And it's because of people like yourself and others who have gone out and gotten tremendous amounts of information on the subject and disseminated it to the public like you are right now. And maybe after the next election, maybe we can get something done about it.
Well, you just brought up a point there. It was meant, you know, everything the globalists do is gauge for different strata. What will intelligentsia think? What will controllers think? What will our opposition that's in the know think? What will kind of the somewhat informed white collar folks think? What will the dumbed down, you know, beer slurping, football watching? I'm not saying you're bad, folks. We all love it. Point is, that's your God. That's all you know. You're not versatile. What will they think? And clearly, 9/11 was meant to governments to be a threat. Look how bold we are. It was also meant to be a threat to us. And the fact that it was so obvious, I mean, they gauged that. What was the message they were sending there to the different strata?
You better watch out. You're going to have a problem. And that is, you keep your mouth shut and go along with the program, and we won't bother you. If you don't, you're going to have problems, and that is through the Patriot Acts and other legislation that's been passed. And for those people who are really outspoken, many of them seem to suicide themselves. And so I think that was the threat, and I think they did it in Oklahoma City as well.
So it's an open, and then cops spoke out and said the feds did it, and they'd murder them and torture them to death and then laugh and say it was suicide, cutting them all open. Cop of the Year Terrence Yakey and others, you saw feds there. Well, you're just dead, Cop of the Year, saved all those people. How about we torture you and find out who else knows what's going on? And their fellow cops shut their mouths and said, absolutely, murder us whenever you want. We love it, basically. But some police have exposed. It's just so pathetic to see this going on. You're absolutely right. It is an open threat to everyone, and it is meant to be a threat to those of us that are in the know. But I think the elites were going according to an old paradigm, an old attack paradigm, an old attack profile when they had media dominance. Now they don't, and I really think that they are on the run on many fronts and are not very happy how 9/11 ended up for them.
I think you're absolutely right, and that has spread, as you say, into other areas. Their program for the Middle East has been disastrous. Their economic and financial program is entrapped. I mean, they can't get out. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and they know that, and that's why they're frantically running around. As Mr. Engdahl said, they're afraid they're going to lose their wealth and power. And, Alex, it's people like you and I who are going to take their wealth and power away from them through our court system by exposing what they're doing.
Well, I mean, they realize that. That's why they're so dangerous, is they've gone to the point of no return. They've gone for broke, and they know that, and they say that. Their crimes are so huge that if they don't bring in full spectrum dominance, if they don't activate COG and totally dominate everybody, then they're openly saying they're cooked. So that's why it's the immovable object, you know, going up against an immovable object. It is a collision. And if we just don't blink and just say, you know what, ramming speed and put it in high gear and just pedal to the metal, I mean, there's no way we're going to lose, Bob.
I agree with that. It's just waiting them out and keeping the information coming. And I never thought that I would be projected into the spot that I am at my late age. Being able to transport information, and primarily information in the financial world. There are others who specialize in other areas, just like Mr. Engdahl said earlier, that I'm not an expert in science, and neither am I. But we do what we can do, and it's great that we have someone to work with like yourself who is able to grasp many subjects and tell the people the real innards of what's going on in them.
Well, Bob, it's just really an honor to have you on as well. Okay, let's get into the economy, and I'm going to skip this next break coming up for InfoWars.com listeners because, again, the information is so important. Breakdown, were you expecting this? Because you and others have been saying you expected them to take it over, but when were you expecting it? By that, were you expecting it now? Because some had said it was coming later. I don't remember what you said on the show, but you said they were going to take over Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And then what does this mean? Where is it going in the future? Bob?
The first announcement by the international forecaster was just 4 years ago. And I said that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were technically bankrupt. And everybody on Wall Street and in the Beltway knew that. And they needed Fannie and Freddie to execute the real estate bubble, which was going to keep the economy from collapsing for the next 5 or 6 or 7 years. And so they continue to have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac take on mortgages. And as time went on over this past four-year period, they took on more speculative mortgages, which made their situation even worse. The figures, the numbers, the balance sheet in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac both were bogus. Their derivative position...
Bob, stop. Bob, go to derivatives in a minute. But they needed to loosen up on loans to keep the bubble going, correct? And now, is this the final bubble, bringing the big Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac bubble within the Treasury, which internationalizes it? Or is the final bubble the green carbon tax, which they're saying will pay to the banks?
It's hard to say is at this time. I just know with what they've got already, they're in serious trouble. And
okay, you got your derivatives. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the derivatives, they just made terrible mistakes in purchasing and writing them. And Raines, who was the head of Fannie Mae, who was dismissed, he executed the first part of it. They were balancing or harmonizing earnings as well. And I knew what they were into as far as the mortgages was concerned, and I knew their position was financially irretrievable. I never really thought it would get as bad as it has now. And they have $5.2 trillion worth of mortgages. They will probably have, I would say a conservative estimate would be about 35% will turn out to be bad. So, you know, we're looking at
$2 trillion.
And on top of that, they have allowed the shareholders to lose almost all their money. They have allowed the bond of the preferred holders to probably lose all their money, and a lot of them are banks.
All right, well, I'm sorry for interrupting, but is it $2 or $3 trillion? Because my math would be $2.5 trillion.
Yeah, $2.5. And that's a good figure. It could go as high as $4, but I baseline it at $2 and say it'll be $2 or more. And that'll take 5, 6, 7 years.
But how much does that infect? I mean, that's only $2 trillion on the mortgages. Then they sold bonds. They sold those packages. And I've seen some reports say it's $50 trillion. Some say it's $25 trillion. I mean, how big is the domino effect?
The domino effect could be as large as those figures that you've mentioned. I'm just going for the base facts. I mean, that's enough to compel anybody to have a spinning headache.
Well, I actually have one right now.
The preferred holders are $36 billion. I don't see any way the government can't come in. They've got to come in and bail those people out. Because if they don't, a whole bunch of banks are going to go under. They wouldn't go under.
All right, let's keep talking about it right now. Here we go with Bob Chapman. Keep rolling, Bob. Keep rolling. Just keep going.
And also, of $1.3 trillion in round figures of bonds, those bonds, over $800 billion worth are held by foreigners. And I think that's what brought this thing to a crescendo. I mean, it's been going on for a long time.
So you're saying they had to.
I said to them, look, mm-hmm. you better guarantee those bonds or you got a serious problem.
Here's the $64 million. Here's the $64 million question. Then we'll go back, Bob, and I'll let you roll. Here's the $64 million question. And I want to answer this when we come back from break. But right now, you can keep going over the Chinese and what you're saying. But before I forget, because I write notes here and then forget, when we come back, when or if, how long till this eats through, this time bomb, until they see the Treasury as insolvent with all the crap they're dumping on it? Or will it just go on forever, and then because it's the government backing it, it won't matter if it's all fraud, and then we enter a la-la land where any investment, including used birdcage liner, is as good as gold. So, I mean, you see my question. Let's answer that in 3 minutes, but continue answering with the Chinese saying, look, we're holding this. Go ahead.
And I think they pushed them into it, and I don't think that they wanted to do that 2 months before an election. And so I don't think they had any other choice, and I think that was probably the compelling factor. Another thing is that the Chinese have been, again, buying dollars with yen in order to suppress the value of yuan. And the reason they're doing that is to continue to be competitive because they're starting to run into some pretty stiff competition offshore. And, of course, too, their banking system's got problems I won't even go into here, which is as bad as the Japanese had in 1992. And that's because Communist Party members get loans and never pay them back. And so China was saying, look, you got to honor these bonds. And on the other hand, we're going to buy dollars because we want to keep our currency down. And by doing so, we'll buy treasuries with that money. And so they were a support mechanism on one side by buying the treasuries, but on the other, they wanted protection on their Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bonds. And so I think that's what compelled the Treasury to go forward and meet the challenge finally. They didn't want to do it. And
well, that was
how long will this take?
Mm-hmm.
It'll take an absolute minimum of probably 3 years, and it could go out many years. And what they're going to try to do is extend the real estate and the mortgage and the securitization of mortgages problem as far out into the future as they can, so they can deal with other problems that they like they've got now, where about 50% of brokerage houses and banks are insolvent. And this is a monstrous problem. And so by doing what they've done, they are able to throw some of it into the future. Example, right now, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and you didn't see this anywhere because they didn't publish it, they changed the role of default on mortgages from 90 days to 2 years.
Wow.
Now, that means that everybody who's in their house and can't make their mortgage payment stays there for a couple of years.
Stay there. That's a huge announcement. I want the full audience to hear that, Bob. I want the full audience to hear that. We're going live right now.
Guarantee.
TheInternationalForecaster.com. That's his website. My websites are Infowars.com, Infowars.net, PrisonPlanet.tv, PrisonPlanet.com. Take some calls coming up in the last 15, 20 minutes of the hour for Bob Chapman. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. Jesse in the Netherlands, Paula in Canada, Helen in Florida, Steve in Colorado, Chris in Florida. We're going to get to all of you. And we'll tell you later before he leaves how to get a free copy of his newsletter. This isn't the pap you see on TV. The stuff he talks about comes true 9 times out of 10 or more. I remember him 4 or 5 years ago. I've been interviewing Bob for about 8, 9, actually, talking about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac going under. Catherine Austin Fitch, who worked in the HUD for Clinton, high level. She was the head of it, saying this like 7 years ago on our show. So they've known what's going on. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts was on with us a few days ago, and he this had just happened. This was Monday, and so he wasn't sure yet. Now I looked at the news. It is clear that they didn't just guarantee the mortgages, but also the bonds that were sold on those is the way I see it. I want to ask Bob Chapman about that, but I want him to elaborate on what this will extrapolate out to in the next few years, because they can prop up the big investments, the big companies, the big bondholders, the foreign governments, the institutions, and they can keep printing dollars to fill that void. But the economy's breaking down. There's no credit. Things are degenerating fast, and he's saying 3 years, maybe longer, like Japan's been in a 15-year hardcore recession. So that's a bunch of questions. But A, are they securing everything tied to the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac? Are they securing all the bonds and junk that was sold, AAA-rated crap, or just, and then you mentioned the part so much here about they're guaranteeing mortgage defaults after 2 years, not just a few months, so that's a big deal.
Well, again, it's to extend and extrapolate, as you said, and I think that what they're going to do, and I don't know if Paul Craig Roberts addressed this, is, yes, they are going to take on their balance sheet at the Treasury the bad paper that's out there, which is the CDOs, the SIVs, and the ABSs. And those are bonds that contain, for those who don't know out there, mortgages which were securitized and made into bonds. The last one, ABS, is asset-backed securities, and they are packaged with vehicle loans, swimming pools, mobile homes, motorcycles, those kind of things. And all of that stuff on average right now, if you can find a market, is selling somewhere in the vicinity of 50 to 60 cents on the dollar. There's some of it's at 10 cents and some of it's at 80. It all depends on what paper you have. And so at 50%, the Treasury eventually, and they're going to be very, very quiet about doing this, is going to take this on, these securities on, and they're going to loan against it. And they won't loan 100% of the value of the security. They will probably loan something near the market. And so the American taxpayer is going to end up paying for all of that rotten paper that was issued by the banks in the United States. The banks are being let off the hook, and that would include the rating companies, S&P, Moody's, Fitch, who lied about the ratings and said they were AAA when they were BBB, which is the difference between a 10 and a 4. They're going to let the mortgage originators, the appraisers, the salespeople, and the 85% of the people who lied on their applications off the hook.
Now,
the Treasury's going to eat it. The Treasury is you and I.
Yeah, the Treasury's you and I. Now, what does it mean, the huge announcement, as you said, that got almost no attention? I'm ashamed I haven't mentioned it here. I did see it, that they've moved from a few months on default on mortgages for individuals, civilians as we're called, to 2 years. That is a big break in this whole area of burning the people. That's a place where the people actually get something, though we'll pay for it in dollar devaluation down the road. So basically, if you are somebody who's insolvent, you cheated too, you lied on the piece of paper. So the only people getting punished here are people that saved and people that did a good job.
Exactly. And, you know, this is the only way that they can do it. What the institutions have been doing already is they've been moving them off balance sheet. And they do that, they take a package, let's say it's worth $5 billion. And the person that they sell it to, but it's not really sold because it's a conditional contract, and they sell it to another party, and the other party pays 20%, and the entity loans them 80% to buy the bad paper. I mean, you talk about Mickey Mouse bookkeeping.
Tell you what, stay there. For people that may have passed over their heads, they weren't paying attention, explain that in detail right now for the InfoWars.com stream listeners. Got to go there.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run.
Yep, it's Alex Jones, the GCN Radio Network. Okay, Bob, please continue.
It's Alex and Bob, and Bob owns XYZ Securities, and Alex is an equity expert that has lots of money. And I go to Alex and I say, Alex, I've got this $5 billion worth of bonds, which are CDOs. I want to move them off my balance sheet. I want to sell them to you on a conditional basis. You put 20% of the money up, which would be $1 billion in this case, and we'll loan you the other $4 billion for you to take this off our hands. All you have to do is pay us back, and if everything works out well, you'll end up with a nice profit, and we will have had these off the books because
so that's
they're
just,
off our books.
So that's just fractional reserve banking again.
Well, it isn't even that. It is so illegal under FASB rules, it's unbelievable. And they expect people to stand by and look at them rob us and us to stand still for it. It's incredible. I mean, nothing like this has ever happened, and everybody in corporate America and Wall Street and government doesn't say a word that the whole thing stinks to high heaven.
No, Bob. Instead, the ones that made the big bucks and all these new billionaires, they're all literally buying armored compounds in the Caribbean with private security forces, and I've talked to them. They said they're here in Austin. They're basically saying it's going to be war on the streets. They have road warriored us. They have robbed us so bad, they are just bastards. And then they've got these brainwashed, bloodthirsty, macho, roid head cops that'll do whatever they're told and are convinced that anybody that loves America or freedom is evil, and they're ready to eat our guts and ask for seconds. God, it's so sick. They're going to leave us with a bunch of steroid cops while they fly off with all the money.
And they're all going to die, and they know it. And a lot of us are, too. But we're going after them. There is going to be redemption in this, and they know it. And they're not going to get to keep their power and money this time. And this is going to make the fall of the Hanseatic League and the Lombard system look like child's play.
You think so? No, they'll just tell the cops that... babies are Al-Qaeda, and they'll throw them off cliffs, cut their heads off, suck their blood. We're the government. We rape you. We're criminals. Here we go. We're going to go back live right now. I'm just so sick of them. It pisses me off. Just filth, scum, dumb idiots everywhere believing whatever the government says. You idiots have no idea. All you people saying, we're making this up, you're going to find out. Because of your ignorance and you letting them do this, we're screwed. Here we go.
771.
Some folks are born, made the way to fly.
The red, white, and Bob, in layman's terms, explain, as you were saying behind the scenes for the InfoWars listeners, that listen to those key streams, what they've done financially here. In the past, the banks could loan out 10 times for every dollar they had. That was fiat. They could buy up the world, dominate with that. But they decided in the early 90s, go through that for people, to just take all restrictions off and just start start making up fake money, fake assets. They bought up all the key assets with us with it, and they're leaving us the junk. And then militarizing the police as a vanguard to protect them, you know, they're going to call resisting them or not letting them take your farm or house or kids a crime. But how do you see this unfolding? Because they've preemptively tried to bring in a police state to block us. They've staged terror attacks to get the cowardly mass to huddle around them and give them support in their evil. I mean, where is this going?
Well, I think you've described it. It's going into the streets, and it can't help but get there. And how they've done it financially is via the root of derivatives. A derivative is like a piece of insurance. And if you owned a bond and you're only interested in the yield on the bond and it's 5%, but you don't want to take any risk on the bond itself, whether it'll go up or down, you sell that risk to somebody else. And there's somebody out there in the derivative market who will take on that risk to protect you for a price.
And then they pass the Ponzi on to somebody else and even sell that insuring of the instrument.
Exactly. And it might end up 20 hands later.
So that's just like multi-level marketing, a Ponzi scheme, where you start it and get 20 people, they get 100 people, they get 1,000 people, and the upper end screws everybody and leaves, but then leaves all the lower 90% holding the bag.
Exactly. And that's really how it works. It is a Ponzi scheme. And that's how they've been holding this whole system together really since 1992. And, of course, it's become bigger and bigger and bigger, and we have derivatives out in the form of $650 or $700 trillion, mind-boggling figures. And so, yes, they will lead the ship. They'll all go and hide out, and they think that that's going to save them, and I've got news for them. We will find them, and there will be trials for them. And I think the American people, generally speaking, don't understand anything that's being done to them. They're confused. They know something's going on, but they just can't understand it. And everybody doesn't listen to a program like Alex Jones. There's a lot of people who just don't know. And it's going to be a revelation to them, because when this all comes down, and it's in the process of doing so presently, you look at the unemployment figures, 14.7% long-term, these are government figures, 10.7% intermediate-term unemployment, and short-term unemployment, 6.1%.
Well, here's the problem. They'll just stage a terror attack right as it fully implodes and claim the Easter Bunny did it, and these cowards will run up and circle around the government and just sit there shaking. Now, I don't see that working, but you know they'll try that. They do anything to get the cowards to come up and cuddle up under the black wings. But these people insult us, write us letters, say we're lying. You know, you predicted Freddie and the whole Fannie thing. We predicted everything that's happened. We've laid out what they were going to do. We've broken it down. They're total criminals. And there's still about 30% of the public that will buy anything they're told. And I know that they don't matter in history, except they're going to be the enforcers. They'll do anything they're told by the establishment, including handing their children over, as long as they get to act cool.
And that's why you have to be very careful who you speak to this about, and also very careful about venting your feelings about what's going on. Because if that happens, and we have a situation like what the Stasi had in the old East Germany, where everybody was spying on everybody else, then people will come and pick you up because they'll tell on you, and of course there will be a reward for that as well. I mean, the IRS uses the system in the United States now. Exactly the same way.
Oh, listen, listen. They're training
you bring
children.
Somebody in, you get a piece of it.
They're training children in every major public school in the country that we look at to with text messages to turn their parents in and neighbors in, and they're running around getting money. They want to artificially have a bad economy so they can force this conversion over to the military-industrial complex. I say speak out like your lives depend on it to block them. If we're cowed and are quiet, they may win. Do you agree with that, Bob?
Mm-hmm. My daughter's a teacher, so I know what you're talking about.
It's disgusting.
And, of course, she deviates from the
No,
subject.
I'm not saying she's disgusting. I'm saying how the cops listening...
No, I know that.
No, but I'm saying how the cops listening think freedom is face-scanning cameras and children spying on their parents. It isn't, okay? Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, that is not something that should happen in America, but it is happening. And it's going to be worse in the future. If I remember correctly, the United States government hired two or three individuals who are high up in the government in East Germany.
Yeah, Marcus Wolf.
Advisors.
Marcus Wolf, head of the Stasi, was hired by the... He just died last year, but he helped set up Homeland Security.
Exactly, but there were two other people. One of them was from Moscow.
Primakov.
Right, that's right. And that's where they got the ideas... And how to make them work, as far as people spying on one another and putting systems together where people couldn't do much of anything without government knowing.
Yeah.
I mean, these laws for money laundering is an example. They want to know where everything is going and how you're doing it. Somebody I know the other day went in to buy some money orders, and I think they were for like $4,700, and the man said, "Well, we can't do that without you signing and giving us a copy of your driver's license and all this." And the man said to him, "Look, I know you. You're going to do it my way, and we don't do it at all." And so the guy said, "Okay, we'll do it your way." But if you don't know the guy that's selling the money orders, you got a problem.
Well, I mean, it's total surveillance. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I see 80-year-old, no exaggeration, men buying beer being carded, and they're swiping it. That's a database. It's already mm-hmm. in place. Bastards.
That's right. It's interesting that they're doing that. I didn't know that. I don't have credit cards, and I haven't had them for years. But they've become very dangerous things.
Oh, listen, I go in, people thought it was just zip codes to figure out where to put stores at a Best Buy or wherever. Now you go to pay for, say, $100 worth of videotapes or whatever, or memory sticks, and they go address and name, same thing at Radio Shack, everywhere else. That's all for a database. And I've read the corporate documents going back 6-7 years ago where they would meet for these big conventions where they say we're being given federal mandates and insurance breaks. That's how they control them. That's how it's all standardized, to get everyone habitualized to showing ID for all purchases. It starts with cold medicine, then it's beer, cigarettes, now it's everything. Now major gas chains want you to register with your driver's license before you can use a credit card.
It's a tough place to live nowadays, isn't it, Alex?
Oh, it's freedom. So much of it. But the illegal aliens... You know, the Pope.
What kind of democracy is that?
Well, the Catholic bishops are saying, don't track, don't trace, don't arrest illegal aliens. It's of the devil. But there's been 1,000 deaths on one town across the Texas border, hundreds on this side, bedlam and war, and the cops don't arrest illegals for almost anything. They admit it. But the citizens, the book is just thrown at you, and you have no Bill of Rights, and you're more surveilled than East Germany.
That's absolutely true. And that's why a lot of people are saying, gee, I'm 65 years old, I'm not going to put up with this, and they leave the country.
Oh,
I talked to somebody today who said, you know, I'm thinking of going back to the Ukraine.
Oh, I know. Greeks, Ukrainians, Poles, Arabs, they're all leaving. They've been leaving for years. A lot of Russians said, man, I've seen this before. I'm an anti-communist. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Another thing I've run into also, I was told yesterday there's a mass exodus of Russians from Israel going back home.
Yeah. No, it's everywhere.
They don't want to be incinerated if the Zionists start a war.
There have been several articles. First one was in the Jerusalem Post, richest man in Israel moves, leaves. It was the other one. The top richest 10 Jews in Israel in the last 6 months have left, sold their houses, and moved to London and to Switzerland. Moved to England and Switzerland. What does that mean?
It means they want to be out of harm's way.
It may not be caused by EMF radiation alone. Computers and TVs release chemicals into the air which are inhaled and accumulate in households.
And they probably are. I mean, they're part and parcel of what our government does, so there's not much difference. And I don't think, no matter who's elected, there'll be much difference in the future as far as the Oval Office is concerned.
Hey, Bob, did you just hear that noise over the line?
No.
If I turn this up, I get a broadcast.
Family, check out rawair.com.
I don't.
Or call.
Yeah, they're running ads for Raw Air. Can you guys turn that off for me, please? I'd really appreciate that.
666-996-7189.
If they don't get it off the air, we'll send somebody after them.
That's right. Whatever. It doesn't even matter.
One of those off-duty cops with the special uniforms.
Oh, God help us. There's a lot of cops and a lot of government people and a lot of bureaucrats who think this is all funny and cute, and they send me emails and they say, yeah, we're going to get you. We're going to kill you. We're taking over. And you'll go to their MySpace and they're a cop or they're military. And they're proud of it. I mean, a lot of them think this is fun. They don't know history, do they? They don't know what they're slated for, both fighting us, but also working for this evil system. They think it's real cute what they're part of. It's like a little petty power trip. We're going to get to do whatever we want. What do you say to them, Bob?
Well, there's 450 million weapons in the United States. If we cut the population in half, we probably have about 100 million, perhaps, adult males over, say, 16 years old. Probably 70% of them have shot weapons before. And with 450 million weapons and fielding 50 million people, or even 25 million, or even 5 million, there's going to be no contest. The kill factor will be very large, perhaps in the hands of the professionals, but we're going to win.
Well, the other big...
They cannot win. It is impossible.
Well, the other big problem is that's why they have the face scanning cameras and the tracking grids and the smart dust, and they admit that's NORTHCOM dominance. It's so incredible to read John Warner Defense Authorization Act or read NORTHCOM plans. They say we're the enemy. They say they work for Wall Street. They say the military brass lists the American people as enemies. And I don't think the listeners fully grasp. I mean, they're not even debating it, Bob.
No, they're not. And they think they're going to do what they want to do, and it's not going to happen that way. America is still a sleeping tiger as far as the populace is concerned. And, again, I think they've underestimated them. And I think they're going to have serious problems, terminal ones.
All right. I'm going to skip the final break. Ted Anderson wants to talk to you off air, so I'll let you talk to him when the show ends, Bob. Let's go ahead and go to the calls. Again, cops are going to take your grandma's pension. They're going to take stuff from your family, people you know. I know you'll strut around at family dinners and kind of go, I don't want to hear about it. But you're going to be hurt by your system. You're going to wish to God you'd have fought with the people. I know a lot of you are planning to. Jesse in the Netherlands, where the Queen of Orange sits firmly ensconced, getting the monopoly on Iraqi oil last week. You're on the air, Jesse.
Hey, Alex, everything you've done so far is awesome, and people around the world are waking up. Since I'm too far away from the United States or any crowded places where I could go tell people about what's going on and getting them to tune into your show, I went online, and actually today there's an event in Second Life, which is a virtual world.
Yeah.
And I visited a digital memoriam, 9/11 memoriam. And I had a T-shirt on, and the text on it was, investigate 9/11, honor the fallen by relentless pursuit of truth.
Oh, good. So you went to this virtual thing that tens of millions are involved in. How many people were at the memorial?
Well, I've been here all day, and I've seen thousands of avatars pass by. And, well, what then happened was the admin banned me from the land because I was wearing that T-shirt and giving those T-shirts.
See, I want to write an article about this. Bob, I'm sure you know about this. There's several virtual realities that tens of millions play in these games. It's like they're real. This is how Matrix insertion, the Pentagon plans to put us in the pods with this because the wirehead, well, that's a new function coming up. I'm not kidding, folks. It's all real. The point is, yes, so you're there. Thousands come by and see your T-shirt at the virtual memorial. They wanted to run an op and side there, and then the admin banned you because you had that shirt. Outrageous. We need to invade with the members of that with more shirts right now. Where is that area where your First Amendment's being violated in virtual reality?
It's named Second Life, and the area name that it's in is actually named World Trade Center.
Okay, so it, not only is 9/11 Truth banned right around the real World Trade Center, but in Second Life, there right now. Now, what did this degenerate admin say when they banned you in virtual reality?
Well, I'll translate it to English for you. I have it right here in front of me.
My God, this is science fiction. I mean, we're talking about protesting in virtual reality. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He says, you're really looking for it, huh? I think it's very nasty of you to act so innocent and then walk around here annoying the people with your conspiracy theories. I'm going to report you to Linden Labs, who runs Second Life, of course, who banned you from my sim, and now you're muted. Goodbye.
So just like in the real world, can't wear your 9/11 inside job shirt. You could have a pierced nose or a devil tat. That's okay, but don't actually really be individualistic. Bob Chapman, what do you think of this?
It's something that I didn't expect, and it will progressively get worse, and they will pick up more and more people and impound them and get all their information and warn them. If they picked up again, they won't be heard from again. And that's where they're going to go about it, particularly with young people. Because young people are generally in better physical condition than adults, and young people can become combatants much more easily.
What about the Alexander Solzhenitsyn quote about when the Gestapo or the GRU, how we burned in the camps, wishing that when the secret police came out to grab us, we would have met them with hatchets in the doorways?
Well, maybe that will come to that in our country.
Does that ever happen in the virtual reality sims? Do people ever go wild there? Jesse.
Well, yeah, it certainly happens. And my idea to basically get the people informed was to get more listeners who listen to to your show to get on Second Life. And if I'm allowed to give out my avatar name so that people
can go ahead.
It's 9/11 Truth, and the last name of the avatar is Sky Tower.
9/11 Truth Sky Power. Everybody who's in Second Life, and I know you're out there listening, Attack Pattern Delta, go now. Let's get all the 9/11 information we can in there and take over right now in that virtual reality area immediately. We're going to skip this break. Final segment. Better get over to InfoWars.com, folks, to listen. All right. Thank you. I want to move through these calls quick, but Jesse in the Netherlands, this is science fiction. We're in the future. I mean, we're virtual reality on the web and AM and FM, both old world, new world, and where people are being banned in virtual reality with tens of millions. How many? I know it's tens of millions now that are in Second Life. How many are part of Second Life, Jesse?
Let's see. Logged on in the last 60 days are 1,132,474 avatars. And at this moment, there are 60,000 online.
Okay, there's another one that's bigger then. What's the other one?
Excuse me?
There's a bunch of other games, aren't there?
I didn't quite get that, Alex.
Well, okay, I appreciate your call. My point is, there's some other ones that are bigger, some other virtual reality games. I've seen their numbers. Okay, let's take another call here. Let's talk to Paula in Canada. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I'm calling from Canada.
Hi.
Me and my three children listen to you with my husband as well.
Welcome.
We followed you for about 11 years now. And for the Truth 9/11 movement, my husband and I did two websites, and I'm printing T-shirts. We've given out about 500 DVDs to expose the government, basically because I want to deprogram my family, my friends, my parents, everybody that I've been around in my life. I've dropped my feminist career, turned my back as a Canadian athlete. I've turned my back as a police officer. I've turned my back as a model. I've turned my back on everything.
Wow.
Basically. I can't do it anymore, Alex. I've done it for years. I'd rather be a mother and a motivational speaker. I did my first movie in 1998, Reluctant Angel, in Toronto. And as I did that, about 3 years ago, or 4 years ago approximately, I had a fallout. I had to contact a lady named Janet Hall in the States. She's best friends with Jeff Rentz. She's a microbiologist who had to do a study on me because I had a lesion explode in my spinal cord. She told me that was from chemtrails. And
yeah, Morgellons.
Oh, yeah, it was Morgellons. Basically, it was up the line of Morgellons. I've survived quadriplegia, thank God, for my background and my training, and I've gone through a detox. I've basically survived to live through a criminal trial, and I've been at doctors and lawyers, and I've been confronting judges and crowns and telling them what kind of Mason system that we've been living under. I mean, I've basically been allowed to say everything I need to say, even on a stand in a trial, confront people, let them know that I'm not happy with this.
Good job. Anything else?
Yes, Alex. For 6 years, I've homeschooled my kids.
Good.
I will not vaccinate them.
Good.
I will not let women tell me what to do. And basically, to all the women today, I want you to stand up today. I want you to say something and back your husband. I want you to back your families. I want you to stand behind Alex Jones because we have for many years.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want to break up the families, and they get the men to act bad, the women to act bad. Folks, you're all under attack. Stick together. All you've got is your family. It's us against them. Thank you for the call. Let's go back live to the full transmission. Bob, you know, the establishment goes after our families. But if you just explain to your family, don't you know the family's under attack? It's only us we can trust. That's what keeps families together. And that is so important, Bob. I mean, how important is the family?
It is the reason for existence.
Absolutely. So stop fighting with your husband and wife. If your wife's being mean to you and arrogant, stop fighting with her. Get to the level of explaining to her the big picture. If your husband's doing it, you know, stop it. Stop fighting with each other. Stop it. Don't use drugs. Don't get in their debt system. Beat them. You beat them by living well, as the French say. The best revenge is living well. Paula, thanks for the call. Helen in Florida. I got to move quick here. Helen, you're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Yes. Three quick statements, then one question. First, Jesus did not appear to let us become extinct. The second one is Rabbi Israel Weiss said that Israel now is not the Israel that's predicted in the Bible. The Orthodox Jews say that. And then I wish there were more Jack McLambs. And then my question is, do you anticipate when the precious metals will go up or down?
Okay. Thank you. Obviously, they're trying to suppress them. But long term, it's only going to go up if they're devaluing the dollar, bailing all this out. That's the reality. Bob, how long can they suspend reality? I mean, how long can they suppress metals?
Well, I think it goes with a number of other things. They're trying to hold the market up. They're trying to make the dollar go higher. And the reason for that is to portend strength. Because I think that they're going to lower interest rates here very shortly. Most people don't, but I do. And gold is going through a correction which has been caused by government, in part. They get the ball rolling and they stoke it all the time. And I think that we're nearing probably the bottom in the gold market. There's a good chance of that. Corrections are normal, although gold and silver were not overpriced like commodities were. And so I think in the long term, if you own gold and silver-related assets, you keep them. This would be a very good opportunity when gold and silver have come down substantially, along with the shares, to pick them up.
Yeah, bottom line, they can have paper money artificially worth something, but they can artificially devalue metal. But in reality, metal has the real value, and historically, if you look at it on a graph, it always only goes up with inflation. And so you've got something that's an emergency backup. I've bought gold at 300. I've bought gold at 1,000. I've just kept it all, the little bit I've gotten in silver. It doesn't matter to me because I know it's real, and it's an insurance policy, and that's what it's all about. Do I feel good about the $300 gold? Yes. Do I feel bad about the $1,000 gold? No, because it's all real. It's based in reality. TheInternationalForecaster.com. Okay, before I end this transmission, I just want to remind the listeners that, A, retransmission starts with Ralph Nader and some of the other guests we had on were amazing today. And at the end of the show, in about 1 minute, we just come right back. But you got to be on the InfoWars.com audio streams. The only place. Genesis Streams will be another thing. InfoWars.com if you want to hear any of that key info and reports from Ground Zero right at the first of the show. Really important info at the streams at InfoWars.com. Don't forget the free podcast. If you're listening to us on the AM and FM dial, be sure and tell folks about how they can listen on the local station. And don't forget, I'm a filmmaker, and our new film is out, Fabled Enemies. Get it. God bless you all. We'll be right back at InfoWars.com.